much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in
perspective. You want some free stuff from the radio station?
Yeah, sure.
How about a pair of underwear that says speaking to the mic?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let's move on to the WNBA. They've decided to attract more fans by dropping the W.
Whoa, whoa, ho, ho, whoa. You're a little excited.
Oh, horse manure.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Who the hell are you people?
And now.
And this is a reminder. Hope everybody got their flu shots. And Rite Aid, in a lot of places, are actually giving them out for like $20-$25. Just show up and you get a flu shot. You gotta pay $20 or $25, but it's first come, first serve.
How do you untell something? You can't. You can't put words back in your mouth.
Our feature presentation.
Ah, the great Rodney. Explaining life the way it is.
I miss him. You know, we should have appreciated him more before he died. Now we look back and wish we'd spent more time with the man.
Sure.
But we can't. He's gone.
Gone too soon, I'd say.
He was the best. Yeah. Well, he lived to be 130.
That's true.
Last time I saw him, he had to be at least 130.
All right, not gone too soon.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the Kevin DeBean Show. It's Tuesday. Your calls on the line at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get to you in 1 minute. You get on the air and get a prize. That's what we do each morning at this time. You get a chance to watch any of that game last night?
I did.
Fun, huh?
You're talking about the football game, right? Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great game.
That was a lot of fun. You know, I had not watched much of Aaron Rodgers, but I was really impressed with him. I mean, obviously, Brett Favre was the story, and they sure should have mentioned more that he was 40. He's going to be 40 on Saturday. They should have brought that up a little bit.
They didn't bring that up, and they also didn't bring up that he's the only quarterback to ever beat every team in the NFL.
No, they never mentioned that except for 30 times.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers really impressed me. I mean, clearly, you know, he didn't get a lot of help.
I thought he wasn't very good, but overall, I think he is.
Yeah, he had 350 yards or something. I mean, you know, he just he had no help. I mean, what did he get sacked? Like 8 times last night or
something. Yeah, but like 6 of them were because he wouldn't throw the ball. He just stood there.
Yes.
He's got some point.
He's got some learning to do, that's for sure. But, I mean, you can understand. I mean, I'm sure there were people in Green Bay last night who said, wow, I sure wish we had that other quarterback instead. But, you know, it's too early to tell what the rest of the season is going to be like. But, man, it was fun last night. And boy, was Brett Favre having a great time.
Yeah, we were. I was playing poker last night, so we were watching the game, and we were all fighting for position so that we could sit in the chairs that face the TV so we could watch the game.
Of course.
And then after the game ended, somehow we ended up, maybe it was the same channel, I don't know, but we ended up watching Dancing with the Stars.
And no, because the game was on ESPN.
Okay, so then somebody must have changed it. So then we were sitting there, and all of a sudden I said, what are we? Are we watching Dancing with the Stars on purpose? And then we couldn't tell who the celebrity was. The star and who the dancer was.
Yeah,
had no idea.
Weak lineup.
No possible idea. And you know what they were doing? Dancing.
That's the show.
Ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
Chuck Liddell
watched that.
Was
huge,
on that program.
Huge hit, that show. Now, he was the celebrity in his pairing.
Yes. Yeah, that's a bad show right there.
It's a horrible show.
That show blows.
Yeah. Couldn't be more popular.
I know. That's the way it usually works, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sure Brett Favre will be a contestant on there next year, unless he's playing again for a different team.
All right. Time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, it's that magic spooky time of year. How about a pair of tickets to join us at Knott's 37th Annual Halloween Haunt? That's coming up on Wednesday, October the 28th. Psycho Mike, you've already been down there. You've already seen the Halloween Haunt this year, haven't you, or no?
I have been to Universal Studios.
Ah, so you haven't seen this one yet.
Yes.
All right. But good times indeed, and that's the prize for being on the air for Kevin Bean's What to Do, Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Adam. Hi, Adam. What to do?
Hey, guys. What to do? What to do?
What's going on?
Well, I heard from a friend recently that he was telling me about this, about some program where you could pay somebody like $1,000 and they would let you have a bazooka and they would let you like go blow up a cow on their farm.
Oh my God.
But then the best thing was I'd been talking to another friend and telling him about that, and he's like, oh, I've heard that too, and it's a completely different guy. So I don't know what kind of like sickles are out over there, but actually that sounded like it was pretty cool. I mean,
not cool.
Like to make some meat.
Not cool at all.
You can pay money. They give you a bazooka. And then they say, go crazy on my farm?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Dean can fully appreciate that as a cow owner, but that sounds pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, you guys were talking about pigs yesterday, so.
Yeah, well.
It was only fair.
Look, I've seen the movie Hostel. You can pay for anything these days.
Yeah, pretty much.
Certainly acceptable. Thank you for the call. Having said that, I don't think I would do it. Because right. That would be kind of, you know, bad and gross, but
I'd blow up a car
cool.
or something.
Yeah.
If they
car.
Could pay to blow up a car or like a
sure.
building, that'd be awesome.
Sure.
I'd blow up the car of anyone who blew up a cow. How about that?
let's go to Tyler against my better judgment. Hi, Tyler.
What to do, nephew?
Nicely done. Nicely played.
What's up, fellas? What? I have a reporting of the fear this morning in my own house.
In your own house?
Yes,
well, that's a good place to be. That's better than being on the freeway or something.
Yeah, that's fortunate timing.
Yeah, if I wake up every day early to go to work, this is the one day of the month my room wakes up early, too, to go do his inventory for his store. He's locking the door to the bathroom. He takes at least 20 minutes. I just start feeling rumblings. I'm trying to hold it. 2 minutes into it, I realize it's not happening. I have to go into my own yard and like my dog.
Out into the front yard.
Oh, wow.
The fear. The fear. Yeah.
Well, fortunately... I mean, yeah, that's great that you were able to, you weren't in a situation where you had to find a place to go. At least you were, you know, were within walking distance of some place you knew were safe. But it's always better if you can drive to Psycho Mike's parents' house and do it in their front lawn in Pasadena. I mean, that's really the preferred way to handle the fear.
Yeah, I really wish I didn't have to do it, but,
Well, you don't have a choice. That's the definition of the fear.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It didn't become the fear until I realized that he was locking, you know, the door.
Right, sure.
And then the pressure just mounted. You couldn't do anything about it.
The fear.
The fear.
All right. Very good. Thank you for the call.
Let's go to Johnny, who has an interesting call. Hi, Johnny.
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
Oh, it's good.
What'd it do?
What's going on?
What's the deal with these wannabe actors or people who, like Tia Tequila? She, the other night on Twitter, she was talking about committing suicide, asking her followers if she should or if she shouldn't.
What?
Yeah, and then she's saying she was a messenger from God, and she went and died and came back, and God told her all this other stuff. And
wait, she was claiming that was all true of her?
Yeah.
Well,
she
was
on a rant.
The answer is fairly obvious, which is that she is a talentless whore who will say and do anything to get attention.
I agree.
But was she really twittering, should she or should she not, and did everybody make the right decision, which is that she should?
I guess the outcome was that she shouldn't.
Shouldn't.
She was just on a rant from hell, I guess.
Yeah. See, this is why you shouldn't let people vote, because they make bad choices.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. That's odd.
Throw it open to the public, and that's what you get, is they come back with, no, don't commit suicide, Tia Tequila.
All right. Let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
How's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Good.
What'd it do? Yeah, I was calling about a story about the fear, but it wasn't me. It was me and my friends. We went to lunch at work.
The fear.
The fear.
I went into the bathroom to go wash my hands and use the restroom. When I got in there, there was an old man standing there, just like clenching his stomach. So I walked up to the urinal because he was waiting for the stall. There was a person next to me. He finished. The next guy, I guess, was coming up because the old man goes, no, wait a minute. And he walks over, drops trowel, and just starts tanking it, just dumping right in the urinal.
In the urinal?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. True story.
I saw South Park just like that.
Why do we need these calls?
No, really.
Why is it all poo-poo pee-pee today? Come on.
Hey, if this guy sees somebody dropping a deuce in a urinal, it's his responsibility to call and let us know.
Oh, that's a horrible way to start the day.
Right next to you.
Awesome.
Needless to say, I didn't wash my hands. I had to get out of there. It was
Dude.
Really bad. It was real
Don't ever
bad.
Call us again.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, no more calls. That's it. Let's ever. I don't mean right now. I mean ever.
Let's do a call-in topic like that.
Let's not.
6 o'clock hour. Come on. Who's with me?
No one is with you.
Omar
is. That's for sure. I could probably get Psycho Mike on my side as well. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? Kevin Pollak will be in the studio today.
Yeah.
Movie star. Comedian. Mike Rowe will be here. Dirty Jobs is the TV show he hosts. And that's a bad gig right there. It's not good.
He loves it. He loves it.
I know. And that tells us a lot about him. Because if there are bad jobs, I would think, let's not do that.
Right.
Let's go the opposite way.
He's a very smart man. And, I mean, I would not make the choice to do some of the things that he does. You know, intentionally be the guy who cleans the sewer. But he looks at it as a tribute to the hardworking men and women in this country that keep it going, that do the jobs that need to be done, that are essential,
right,
but that no one else wants to do. And he thinks there's something very special about those people and likes to honor them.
And I'm down with all that except for the part where you have to then go do the job. I'll go applaud.
Sure.
I'll say thank you. I'll tip. But
he's
I'm not
a fascinating guy.
Yeah. Also on the show today, we have from 90210, Shanae Grimes.
Yeah.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? This is the one from Los Angeles, California. And I'd like to tell you something. The 90210 girls, those three girls need to shake their booties.
Right.
They need to shake their booties. Because I like them. They're awesome. Booty looking. Too bootylicious. Later.
I'm concerned that Dewan was still up emailing me at midnight, and I'm afraid that means he won't be awake at, you know, at 7 o'clock this morning
right.
when we have Miss Grimes in on the show.
Yeah,
I don't want him to miss his chance to talk to his girlfriend.
I'm good with him missing that chance.
Oh, come on.
Yep, I am.
We can't. How could we do that?
Well, I'm just saying.
It would make Dewan so happy. He loves her. He has a 90210 party every Tuesday night. He loves her so much.
He has a party tonight. I was going to say,
I'm the one who's going to pay the price when he sleeps in, doesn't get a chance to talk to her, and then I have to hear about it all night long tonight about how he missed out on his chance.
Well, I mean, let's put a little poster and hide Dewan and have her hold it.
Yeah.
And take a picture of it, and then we can give it to him.
That's not the same as talking to her. I'll tell you that.
Right.
We got to try to make that
there's
happen.
There's two parties here that we need to be concerned with. One is Dewan. One is Shanae.
Look, we're gonna have a relationship with Dewan much longer than we are with Shanae. Okay.
We can always.
I'd rather make Dewan happy.
Like a paper mask and put it over Miss Cleo's face, and she can go over and say, "I'm Shanae Grimes."
Plus, we have a commitment. We promised the Make-A-Wish people we would help. Remember?
I don't think that was a deal that we had with anyone. No. Most famous places you've had sex coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
D in the butt, Bob.
And Jared Leto will be in the studio on the 7 o'clock hour.
Hey, Mike, this is Jared. Stop with the noise. You're freaking me out.
Brand new 30 Seconds to Mars track that we're going to world premiere this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:52.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Psycho Mike is giddy today, by the way, because his boyfriend Jared Leto is coming in. I don't know if you've noticed, but he's
happy.
He's unbearable.
He's prancing about like a pixie.
That's true.
Yep.
Like a wood nymph.
And the way he feels about Jared Leto is the way one of our Kevin and Bean listeners feels about Psycho Mike, to the point where this guy that we're going to talk to in about 15 minutes or so wants to get a Psycho Mike tattoo.
Yeah. So
who doesn't?
We will discuss with him.
Everyone else doesn't.
Coming up right now, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Nicole Richie got rear-ended.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's not a euphemism.
Oh.
She was on Wilshire Boulevard, and apparently she was being followed too closely by a couple of paparazzi. And when she applied her brakes, she got smacked in the rear end.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Woo!
People Magazine reports that the driver who hit Nicole was arrested and then booked for being unlicensed because apparently officers could not verify his identification. It turns out Eduardo Arrivabene is an undocumented worker.
Oh, how about that?
How many illegal alien paparazzo are there? Are things so bad in America now illegal aliens are coming to our country to become paparazzi? They're joining the paparazzi workforce?
Interesting. Makes sense.
It does, because I was at Home Depot this weekend, and as I drove into the parking lot, tons of Mexicans jumped out from the bush and started taking my picture. So I guess they really are getting into that line of work.
Sure enough.
Yeah. Kevin finally has a reason to go back to the Louvre. You know, Kevin is a huge art fan.
I am, that's true.
When he was in Paris, he went to the Louvre Museum and did it in 8 minutes. He broke the record for going through the mile-and-a-half-long museum.
They do tell you, save 3 days.
Take
three full
days. Right.
And no exaggeration, an hour and a half, including lunch.
Yeah, Kevin put on his rollerblades.
Including lunch.
And just hauled ass down the hallway. Yeah, painting, statue, painting, statue, painting, statue, painting, statue, painting, statue.
But didn't Kevin do probably what a lot of tourists do, which is just want to see the Mona Lisa and get out of there?
I looked at some of the other stuff and I went, wow, okay. But I don't. What am I supposed to do, stand in front of each painting and try to fully appreciate it? That's not me. I don't have the...
That's an option.
No.
Some people might want to.
I don't have that kind of attention span. Yeah. I can't do it.
Well, good news for you, Kevin. McDonald's has announced they're opening up at the Louvre.
Oh, nice.
Now you can go get a quarter pounder with cheese or...
I like it.
Whatever it is in metric. And get yourself a shake, and now you can enjoy the experience more because you can have some McDonald's there.
I'm in.
I figured you
would. Time for a return visit.
Hottest place in Hollywood this weekend may have been Gwen Stefani's 40th birthday party. Can you believe our little Gwenny is 40 years old?
No. She looks fantastic.
She looks spectacular. People magazine reports that there was a big bash for her at an Italian restaurant Saturday night, and it was star-studded, and everyone had a blast. And apparently Gwen spent the majority of her evening not with hubby Gavin, who was hanging out with their two little boys, Kingston and Zuma, but mostly with her bestest buddy, Kate Beckinsale.
Ah! Oh! Wow.
How's that for a terrific twosome? Those two hanging out, partying all night long.
Turns out that's
blowing out
good.
Candles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Blowing out candles. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Blowing out candles. So happy birthday, Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Damon just keeps getting better. The more I know about him and hear from him and watch him, the more I like him.
Which is just the opposite of us.
Yeah, usually the more you get, or almost anyone, the more you get to know them, the less you like them.
Right.
But you see Matt, by the way, on Entourage this weekend.
That was so funny.
It was hilarious.
It's about the kids.
Come on, Vince.
It's about the kids.
He says that in a recent interview that he lives in constant fear that his movie success will disappear and he'll be forced to get a real job. Isn't that like the way you would feel if you had that?
Yeah.
Most times you hear other people say, oh, it's such a drag to be famous, and oh, I miss being a regular person, and I wish they would just leave me alone. Matt's like, this is a great life. I live in fear of losing it because then I have to go back and get a real job. This is the best of all possible worlds.
You have the feeling that at some point people are going to realize you're a complete fraud.
Yes.
And it's all going to go away.
I just appreciate the fact that he loves what he's doing and is in fear of losing it like the rest of us are.
Yeah.
You know? He's not wallowing around in self-pity saying it's such a cross to bear to be rich and famous and make movies.
You guys, you stayed till the end through the credits of Entourage to see the final Matt Damon?
I don't believe I did.
I don't believe I did either.
Funniest part of the whole show, where he's calling and screaming at Vince, I can't believe I have an effing Academy Award and I'm calling you back, and you suck in your movies. And he just goes on and on and on, and then he breaks down and starts crying. It's very funny.
Oh, that's funny. And Lindsay Lohan!
Nope.
Apparently.
Guilty! I think Mike's right. We may need to take the bell away.
Lindsay? Yeah, I think Lindsay's still hot.
This week, though, the pictures coming out of Europe this week, she has never looked worse.
She looks very Amy Winehouse-esque.
Did you see the photos of her in New York during Fashion Week, though?
Look at that.
Well, that's a horrible picture.
That's a horrible picture.
But do you see the other photos of her coming out of Fashion Week this week?
I did not know.
I'm just saying, I'm kind of agreeing with Mike and Kevin just based on the last week.
I mean,
she has really looked terrible.
Well, maybe she's not getting any sleep, or maybe she's worried about losing her new job.
Uh-oh.
She has a new job?
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember I'd mentioned that she was she's got a job designing for the Ungaro fashion company as artistic advisor.
Right.
Well, this week she had her first fashion show debuting her designs. And Women's Wear Daily called her couture an embarrassment.
Oh!
And the New York Times reports several audience members were jeering and aghast with her horrible fashion sense and styles. So she may not have that position for very much longer.
Well, I'll tell you, just because you're famous and you wear nice clothes does not give you taste.
Absolutely.
So that easily could happen.
And speaking of Beverly Hills 90210, I know we're going to be talking to the lovely Shanae Grimes in a little bit. Annalyn McCord is in the news.
Yes.
New York Daily News reports that a communications CEO was bidding on a date with Annalyn at a Beverly Hills charity auction, and it finally sold for over $4,000 for an evening or a meal,
wow,
actually, with Annalyn McCord.
What's included? Everything?
I think just the meal.
Wow.
Not even dessert?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
It's an interesting topic. How much would you spend to spend an evening with your crush? Like, I wonder how much Mike would spend to spend an evening with Jared Leto.
All.
How many, what would be his money. Top dollar offer in order to spend a dinner, a quiet dinner with Jared?
I think he'd give away one of the 20-pound crew, to be honest. I think that's how much he loves
Jared. Probably true.
Give up one of his dogs?
He'd give up the
tard. The retarded one.
Yeah, give that one up. Speaking of which, Shania Grimes on the show today. I heard you talking about maybe having one of our listeners have a conversation with her.
Yes.
I would have to vote not.
No on that.
I'd vote
so
no.
We should do that then. We should definitely do that.
No meaning don't do it. That's what I'm saying.
You have more information? She's
fan.
Yeah.
He loves her.
Right.
Right. We got that.
She will be so pleased
to
hear from him.
She will be wildly uncomfortable.
And possibly have some actionable...
That's right. Like, possibly have to bring her lawyers into things. Not to mention, you know, you said there's only two things to worry about, her and the caller.
Right.
I think there's a third thing you have to worry about.
What's that?
The audience! The radio audience who are listening.
We haven't worried about them in a long time.
I know. Well, maybe it's time.
All right.
But don't you think the people listening would be so happy for DeJuan to get the opportunity to hear him talk to her?
No.
Yes, because of course they were. They pull for him, they root for him, they love him.
Because then the pretty girl would be upset, and people don't like pretty girls to be upset.
Yeah,
the pretty
true.
Girl is not upset if somebody says, I love your show. DeJuan never, ever says inappropriate or sexual things. You know that. He is such a pure heart. He just loves her and loves that show.
Mm-hmm.
Back me up on this, Mike. You know I'm saying the truth.
In a way, creepy way.
I don't think he would ever say anything inappropriate. He just doesn't think that way. It's just, it could fall flat for the listeners.
Well, it's a dude who stalked a waitress who didn't give him the change back correctly.
9 cents.
Is anyone awake here? Hello, is this thing on?
I'm with you.
Do people know who we're talking about?
Yeah, like, there's the
action had to be taken to stop him from harassing a waitress who gave him the wrong change.
All right,
what's
going to
happen when we make him think he's had contact with one of his favorite actresses? Hello!
Have you no heart, man?
Hello.
Come on. He wasn't going to harass the waitress. He was going to kill her and bury her in her shallow grave. Okay, but that's not the case here because Sinead Drives has done nothing but give him pleasure. So he just wants to thank her and say how much he enjoys her program. That's all.
Oh!
Keyboard Cat has weighed
in.
Keyboard Cat is playing you off.
Oh, man. Sweet. Yeah. I got to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthday, singer-songwriter Matthew Sweet is 45 years old today. Actress Amy Jo Johnson from Felicity. And let's not forget the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Sure.
She was a Power Ranger, too. She is 39. Jeremy Sisto from Law & Order and 6 Feet Under. He was also Jesus, by the way. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget Kevin and Bean played Plinko with Jeremy Sisto. Or not Plinko or Kachinko or some game.
What?
That ended with Inko.
They were on a talk show once, Psycho Mike, with Jeremy Sisto. And the three of them had to play a game with Craig Kilborn on The Late Show one night. It was wildly entertaining.
It was the weirdest thing that's ever happened.
It was a strange night. Boxy Ricky Hatton. Yeah. Ricky the Hitman Hatton. Celebrates his 31st birthday today. He's in between fights now, so we'll probably call him Ricky Fatten right now, because the boy tends to pack on the pounds in between.
Doesn't pay attention in between?
Elizabeth Shue, one of my favorite actresses. She is 46 years old. And Yoan Griffith, who, of course, was Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movies. He is 36 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Rise Against. We've got some great new music on the program today. We'll world premiere next hour, brand new 30 Seconds to Mars. The album is going to be called This Is War, in stores December 8th. You'll hear Kings and Queens, and Jared Leto, the man singing on the song, is going to be sitting right here with us as we world premiere. That's going to be next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk to a listener named Robbie. Hi, Robbie.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Now, you left an Afro message for us, and it had something, and we find this hard to believe, so we wanted to follow up on it. It had something to do with you getting a tattoo of Psycho Mike on your body someplace.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Okay.
He's like my favorite listener. I'm not listener. He's like my favorite person on the Kevin and Bean Show besides you, Kevin.
It's all right. You don't have to say that. There are a lot of people like him more than us. Yes, but...
But
so then how did you decide, hey, I need a Psycho Mike tattoo?
Oh, you guys were doing, like, celebrity photos on, you know, tattoos on
right.
people. And mm-hmm. so, like, I was just driving home, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to call in and say I want Psycho Mike on there.
As a joke.
You know, well, kind of, but I didn't think you guys would ever follow up on it, because you've never followed up on anything else before. So.
That's true.
Well, you've never had such a dumb idea before.
Yeah.
This is a great idea, actually, you know.
Now, so, how many tattoos do you have already?
I think I have, like, a total of 9 of them.
9, okay.
Okay, well, that makes a little bit more sense, because clearly it's not that special to you. You'll tattoo anything at this point, right?
No, I mean, Psycho Mike, it'd be pretty awesome to have. It would be an opportunity that I wouldn't want to pass up.
Now, what kind of tattoo are you looking at? Are you looking at, you know, his face? Are you looking at a signature or what?
His face would be pretty awesome, like on my neck with, like, his eyes poking out of my collar.
Come on, that'd be pretty awesome. Yes, yeah. It would.
It would. I think it would. It'd be a great conversational piece.
What would your boyfriend say about that, though? He would be so jealous.
Well, I don't have a boyfriend. I'm married, and she carries double D's, so...
Yeah, there it is.
And does she know that you love Psycho Mike?
Yeah, she knows. She knows. She's probably listening right now.
And she's cool with the whole idea of you getting a tattoo?
Oh, yeah. She was pretty excited when I told him that I think it was Miss Cleo is the one that called me first.
Right,
that, mm-hmm. Yeah, she was like, oh, you got to do it, and you got to take me with you.
All right, here's the conversation that we have all the times with listeners when it comes to tattoos. It sounds like a funny idea. I'm not going to deny that. It really does. But do you look ahead when you're talking about tattoos, which are semi-permanent, and I know you can go through the expense and the pain of having them removed, but don't you think that maybe 5 years down the road when – the luster's worn off Psycho Mike's antics, and
he's off the radio
and nobody knows who he is anymore. Don't you think then you're kind of stuck with something that's just super outdated that you're going to have to explain to everybody and nobody's going to care?
What's wrong with you? Of course that's the case, but don't bring it up.
I'm just asking if you've thought of all of that as well, Robbie.
Oh, yeah, I have. And if people ask, they'll be like, well, don't you remember the Kevin and Bean show? Who's the guy that made all the crazy noises in the background that we all love?
See, that's a horrible story. That's a terrible story to have to explain to people.
That sounds pretty awesome to me.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tattoos right now that you got in a similar flight of whimsy that now maybe you regret? Like something on your body now that you kind of wish, wow, I sure hadn't gotten that.
No. Well, yeah, there's a cross on my leg, and I let my brother-in-law do it, and he dug me so hard, it hurt.
He's not a tattoo artist, I take it.
No, he isn't.
He just got out of juvie. And so he's... Yeah.
Well, let's find out how Psycho Mike feels about this. I mean, I'm sure you're flattered, Mike, but I mean, is this something you'd let him do, or would you try to talk him out of it, being a smart guy?
No, I'm going to talk him into it. I don't know what you're doing.
What
trying
is
to get...
Bean doing?
Yeah,
hey, I mean... I'm Mr. Responsible. Hey, let's think about the long-term effects. What's wrong with you?
Because, look, Mike has an Ozzy tattoo. It was a very similar situation where Ozzy was in our studio and Mike had him sign his chest and Mike went out and got it tattooed because he loves Ozzy, has loved Ozzy for his whole life, and will continue to love Ozzy for the rest of his life. That I understand. Psycho Mike, he's just some cute boy that caught your eye, Robbie.
No, I would like Psycho Mike forever.
That's right. Thank you, Robbie. And Robbie understands that I'm going to mature into a cute, lovable older man. So it'll his passion for me will live on forever.
So on the neck, with his eyes kind of looking up at your face, is that what you're looking at?
No, kind of like looking out, you know. Looking out at people.
Just over your collar. What do you do for a living?
I'm a heavy equipment operator. I work construction.
All right, so you don't have to worry about the workplace.
No repercussions socially.
No, because everybody that works in construction is either out of jail or never graduated.
Yeah,
well, right.
Either way, now, they're going to beat you up if you have this tattoo.
Same with radio, by the way.
Yeah.
Will you actually put the words Psycho Mike on the tattoo, or will the picture be so stunningly accurate that you won't have to because everyone will recognize them?
No, it'd be pretty cool if Psycho Mike actually signed underneath the tattoo.
Yes.
This is so sad.
Just keeps getting better.
Bean, this has to happen. What's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? Come on, man.
Come on, Robbie. Hang up now and forget this conversation ever happened.
Wow.
Don't do it, dude.
Why are you such a killjoy?
Yeah.
Robbie, we insist this happen, and we insist that it happened this week.
Oh, I wish it could. I would probably have to... It's so hard for me to get time off, you know.
What time do you have to go to work?
I have to be at work at 7 a.m. and then I get off at 3:30.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have, seriously, one of the best tattoo artists in Southern California, who's the resident tattooist down there at White Lotus of the Kevin Bean Show. I mean, the guy is great and could do a tattoo that you would be happy with. I mean, that you would be proud of if you decided you wanted to do it. I will tell you that.
Yeah, no, I really want to do it. I would love to come into the studio and actually meet Psycho Mike and everybody. It would be just awesome.
We would love for that to happen as well. But you're going to have to get some time off work. I don't know how you can...
Say the word swine flu. You got your day off, dude.
Although they
hear you on the radio. I guess that hurts.
Yeah, because like everybody here at this company listens to you guys.
Well, then they should understand and give you the day off if they're all down with it.
You don't even need the day off. You could just be, you know, just come in a couple of hours late and you could get it done in the morning.
Yeah, I probably could do that.
Yeah, it's true. If you showed up at 5 a.m. here on the Pacific time, you know, give you a good couple hours, you wouldn't be too late at all.
Yeah, I could probably do that. I'd like to just take the whole day off, though. That's what
sure.
I mean.
So you can celebrate.
Work it out. I could probably ask for the day off.
Now, I'm just taking this for granted, but I probably shouldn't. So I just want to run it by you. You want his face on your neck, so his eyes are looking out over your shirt. But then you want his head connected to his full body, going down to your waist.
Life size.
Life size.
No. If that's yes, then yes.
I'm in. I have a question, Robbie.
See, Bean, this is how you do it. What you do is you take a guy with a horrible idea and you encourage him to go even further than he had thought.
Right.
Robbie, do you want me to take a specific photo that they're going to base this tattoo on, like something where I'm posing, or are you going to use an existing photo?
No, it would be great if you took a picture. You know?
I'm more than happy to do it.
Maybe like flexing, you know, with your shirt off.
Yeah, that's what he'll do.
Mike, you're going to be here. You can just sit for it. Well, then you have to be a photograph. He could do the tattoo based on looking at you.
I'm not a tattoo artist, but I think it would make it easier for Mr. Stencil from White Lotus Tattoo to do it from a picture. I think that it makes portraits easier because they can, you know, kind of use the boundaries of the square.
Are you available tomorrow?
No.
Kevin couldn't be more excited about
this. I'm just saying, we got to get moving, people.
I know. I would like to get moving, too. I wish.
Are you available on Thursday?
I could try.
All right. There we go.
Robbie, why don't you work it out on your end, and then we'll hook you up, all right?
All right. That sounds great.
This is so disappointing, Robbie.
It is okay if I bring my wife with me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course. That's the wife with the double Ds? Yeah, I think we have room for her.
That's the only way we'll do it.
All right.
And you don't get to come in the studio, by the way. She does. And then you stay in the next studio where you're getting tattooed.
Okay.
All right.
Robbie, you're a good man. You're crazy, but you're a good man. We'll look forward to hearing from you, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kings of Leon on the way. Also, Queens of Stone Age actor Kevin Pollak on the program today. Sinead Grimes from 90210. Jared Leto will be here with a brand new song from 30 Seconds to Mars and from Dirty Jobs, Micro. That's a pretty action-packed show right
there.
Yes, it is. And we haven't even gotten into the public sex yet. We got all of that plus public sex.
Well, here's a bizarre thing. And I guess people like to have sex in famous places. You know, so you can say you did it wherever. But the Dallas Cowboys have a new stadium, and it's supposedly just the stadium of all stadiums. I mean, it's supposedly the best. What do you know about it, Mike? You were a Dallas fan for a long time.
It costs close to $1 billion, has what's considered the largest TV screen in the world. It's supposedly unbelievable. It's a sight to behold.
So this dude says to himself, hey, I need to have sex in this stadium so that I can christen it, so I can say I did it there.
Just like you break in any new house, right?
Right. And they choose the bathroom, and they choose, interestingly enough, her lying on her back on the floor of the bathroom.
During the Monday Night Football game earlier this season. But at least it's a brand new stadium, so it's not a stadium bathroom that has 40 years of urine on it. I mean, at least it's clean, you know?
Clean-ish, yeah. I mean,
it's clean-ish. I mean, if you're going to do it within the first few days of a new stadium opening.
So the guy goes in there, and other people in the bathroom see him go in there, so they get out their cell phones, and some of them had video, and they're recording it. And he's just going to town. You can see it. It's not safe for work, but you can see it at deadspin.com. If you want to look for it there. It's only about a 3-second clip that you have, but it's you know, it's him giving her the business in the bathroom stall.
He's wearing a Michael Irvin jersey.
Yes.
People are holding their cell phones over the stall doors to take this video. And the guy, I mean, the guy had to know that everybody could tell what was going on. I mean, that was probably part of the thrill for him,
He
right?
did. And the longer version of it, which we can't find anymore, the guy says, you know, you're going to be on YouTube. And he says, bring it on. He's cool with it. No problem. Put it up on YouTube. I'm fine.
So we're going to look for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not exactly sure what it is that makes you, you know, that makes you feel like you should do that. But I mean, I have it too. I mean, you know, you just, it's a famous place. It's, I don't know. I don't know why that's good, but it is.
So we're looking for calls for famous places, not just public sex. We're looking for famous places. And I'm sure that the first 30 calls that we're going to get are people who did it at Disneyland just because it so seems like something you shouldn't do at Disneyland, right?
Sure. Yeah.
That's, I mean, I have to imagine, especially with our listeners, that has to be the number one famous place where people have done it or tried to or thought about it. I mean, that's got to be high on the wish list. But there are so many other famous places. I mean, I can't imagine that there's a concert venue that our listeners haven't desecrated at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, think about it. I mean, we know for a fact it's been, you know, Verizon Wireless, they do it on the lawn. I mean, we know there are a lot of places where it gets done. But I bet there are some people who have some great vacation stories. You know, we did it at the Eiffel Tower. We did it in the U.S. Capitol. I mean, there's got to be people who have just tried it everywhere they can because it's so cool.
The Eiffel Tower, that seems like that's not a private enough place that you could get away with it without getting caught.
Right, right.
So, who knows, but 1-800-520-1067. Let's begin with Frank, and then we'll take some more calls in a minute. Frank, hi.
What's up? How you doing?
Good.
I used to work at the Roxy in Hollywood on Sunset.
Right.
And I had several different women in several different areas of that place.
So pretty much on the same night, several different?
Not that I can remember.
Because then you're a stud.
Now, was this during concerts or during downtime in the club or when?
Oh, during both.
Both.
On the Rocks was one of them was on 2003, New Year's 2003.
Right.
I went to On the Rocks and.
That's a pretty tiny place.
And I was
that's
in the restroom.
She said.
The guy's restroom.
You're in the guy's restroom. Oh, that's classy right there. That is classy.
Yep.
Happy New Year.
And then what?
Oh, and then okay. I had one on stage.
On stage?
Oh, man.
Yes. There was a DJ playing that night, so they only had half the curtain going.
Right.
And this random chick wanted to get backstage, so I took her backstage.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Listen, I'll take you, but we're going to have sex on stage. Okay. Wow.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. All right. We got some great calls coming in from some of the most famous places in the country. 1-800-520-1067. What's the famous place that you had sex on? We want to talk to you, and we'll do that right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, we're talking about the christening of the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, the billion-dollar stadium that is so close to Jerry Jones' heart. And it actually makes me a little happy knowing that it's already been defiled because that make Jerry cry. But the topic on the table is famous places you've had sex, not just having sex in public. I mean, yeah, it's great to do it on the playground and stuff, but we're talking about landmarks, famous places. 1-800-520-1067. Where have you been? Why don't we start with, let's try with Larry. How about that to get us started on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Larry, thanks for holding on. Where'd you go?
We were in last Thanksgiving. We went to St. Louis and had sex in the South Tower cabin number 3 of the St. Louis Arch.
Come on.
Wow, nice.
How about that?
Straight. Serious.
Did you say, what did you say, cabin?
Yeah, there's different, when you go in, you actually go up, there's different cabins. I think there's like maybe 10 on each side.
And what are they for? Are they just places?
They're like little eggs, and you sit in them. So you're in there, you're by yourself, and it rolls you up to the top of the arch.
I got you.
You get out, you go look around, and then they take you back down to the bottom.
All right.
So you've got some great vacation photos then. That's awesome, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, it was great. It was spur of the moment, and worked out great.
All right. There you go.
Let's try, thank you for the call. Let's try James. He's on line 7. It's our tour across the United States, famous places you've had sex. Hi, James. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Where'd you go?
Actually, ex-girlfriend and I, we kind of had sex in as many different national parks as we could, but the best one was Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, on the viewing deck.
On the viewing deck. So that's outdoors in South Dakota. Was it winter or summer?
It was right around the start of June. We were on like a big, long road trip.
How about that?
I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, I guess you were the only people there looking at it, huh?
It was a midweek, so yeah, it was kind of dead. We tried to do Half Dome after that, and it was way too busy. It was just people all day long. Like, move on.
Yeah.
All right, man. Good call. Thank you very much. Let's try Brian on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brian. Famous landmarks that you have defiled. What do you got?
The Hollywood sign in L.A.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where? Like in between? On top of?
Right underneath the after the HL, right underneath there, man.
Right under the hoe.
How'd you get
How appropriate
there?
Under the hoe.
Yep.
How'd you get there? I mean, that it's kind of fenced off to get to, unless you do some serious climbing.
Well, me and my ex-girlfriend about a good year ago, we're out there like at 2 in the morning and decided we should go into the Hollywood sign, kind of spur of the moment thing, and hop two fences, actually, to
That's
get there.
Manly.
All right.
Good times.
Nicely
Thanks
done.
For the call. Let's try Liz on line four. Go south a little bit. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Where'd you have the sex?
Hi, good morning. So my ex and I kind of made it a game of having sex in the most inappropriate places we could.
Right.
And the SeaWorld family bathroom was one of them.
The SeaWorld family bathroom. Is that the bathroom where you can change your toddlers and stuff? Is that?
Yeah, and like breastfeed. Yeah, we got really dirty looks and we got kicked out of SeaWorld.
Nice.
So, in other words, when you guys walked out of the room together, it was pretty obvious what was going on.
They heard some smacking around and all sorts of good times.
Wow, that's strong. I like that you didn't even try to wait until it was empty. Forget that.
Yeah, we were kind of drunk because apparently SeaWorld sells alcohol, and we couldn't really wait to get back to the hotel.
Sure.
So the family bathroom was right there.
All right. Well, you did the right thing.
Thanks for the call. Let's try James on line three. By the way, we're just all over the country here. People are doing it everywhere. Every famous location you can name, they're doing it. Hey, James, welcome to the show. Where'd you go?
I went to the Empire State Building.
Yeah!
Empire State Building.
Observation deck?
The observation deck at the very top.
Dude, now that's a thing that's always crowded, it seems like. There's always a bunch of people up there. How'd you pull it off?
There were tons of people. We had a blanket because it was super cold. It was around December, and we just wrapped the blanket around us and did it standing up.
All right.
That's dedication right there.
All right. Nicely done. Thank you. Let's see. Let's go to Matt. We knew we'd get one of these. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. So, I worked at Disneyland for a few years, and if you think the guests to get in and get to some fun areas, then you're missing out, because inside the submarine voyage with 38 people inside the boat.
While the ride was going, or whatever?
While the ride was going, yeah.
Did she sit on your lap?
No, what happens is I got up in the sail, so you know when you see the guy's head as they're going by?
Right.
Everybody saw our boat go by, and you just saw the white leggings of my costume in front of the window, and she had to stand up because there's a pedal you have to step on, and then she turned around, she freed the sea monster, if you know what I mean.
Yeah!
I don't know what you mean.
All right, that doesn't sound comfortable. I mean, you deserve some sort of medal for being able to perform under that kind of pressure.
You know, it's never great, but it's never bad.
It's a good point. That's a good point.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Let's hop on line four, please. Jesse, calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jesse, where'd you go?
Hey, guys. I was on a trip to Virginia with my dad on a business trip.
Yes.
And we had some downtime because he had to go to a meeting.
Right.
So my dad's coworker also had his daughter there. So my dad enlisted me to go take her sightseeing. Well, I took her up to the Washington Monument and
showed her some sights.
Yep, at the very top of the Washington Monument, looking out the viewing windows.
Nice.
In a little corner, just pulled up the skirt. The funny thing is she was wearing stockings under, so I had to rip the stocking.
Good.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be too
now,
obvious.
Were you on those terms with her before you went on the trip, or did you open and close on the same day?
Yes. Actually,
nicely done.
It was a three-day trip. We were there from Friday to Sunday. So we were kind of hanging out and stuff like that. And then I guess I was my dad's partner, I guess, is a connection. So he's like, here, take his daughter, make sure you keep her safe. So I kept her safe.
You did. Kept her right close to you to make sure nothing happened.
Exactly.
George Washington would be so proud to know. All right, that's an awesome story. Let's do one more. How about line five? We got Ed here for the closer. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Where'd you go?
Hey, I went on a summer trip my senior year in high school. We went to Europe, and in the Vatican, We had sex.
In the Vatican.
Oh, dude. Hotline to hell. We're going to be calling Ed soon.
You're saying in the Vatican.
Yeah, I'm going straight to hell. I know that. I have no hope for redemption. Yeah, there was this one girl there on the trip that when we got to the Vatican, she was very anti-religion, was just miserable being there. And I thought, this is my chance. So I just went up to her and I said, hey, you know, if you really want to do a number, let's
teach them a lesson they'll never forget.
Yeah.
So she made a statement by having sex with you.
Absolutely.
How much privacy were you able to get? It seems like that place is pretty much crawling with security.
You know what? It was one of those things that there's like a garden kind of right outside of the Sistine Chapel there, and that was about as much privacy as I'm sure people saw us, but, you know, whatever.
That's fantastic. That's great. That's not a story you tell your parents, though, is it, Ed?
Nope.
No, but I hadn't seen the girl. I just friended her on Facebook about a month ago, so I'm looking forward to meeting up with her again.
Excellent. Hey, remember me? She's going to go, nope. I sure don't.
Good times. Thanks for the call, Ed.
It reminds me of the Rocktober band.
Reminds me of Melfon.
Melfon! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:56.
By this time next hour, we will have world premiered the brand new song from 30 Seconds to Mars with our friend Jared Leto in studio. So stick around for new music called Kings and Queens. That's coming up. Sinead Grimes in the next room, getting ready to come in from 90210 in just a moment, too.
Oh, yeah.
Ross got the showbiz beat first. What's going on?
Well, I just want to give you a heads up. I don't know if you guys watch Scare Tactics over on the Sci-Fi channel.
No.
God, that show cracks me up. It is, it's basically punked, but with a horror slant.
Oh, I like it.
So they bring in unsuspecting jamokes who think they're going to work the reception desk at some scientific laboratory where they're doing experiments or something, and they're doing the overnight shift.
Right.
And suddenly strange things start to happen, and things get released from the lab, creatures and things like that, and they freak people out. Then they tell them what happened, basically. But it's a brand new season starts tonight on Sci-Fi at 9 o'clock. I'm going to give you a heads up. I think they're running a marathon of older episodes all day long, in case you haven't seen any. But used to be Shannon Doherty was the host.
Right.
That's right.
Which
That's
was right. Okay, but now they've got Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock.
Oh, really?
And it is a lot funnier. So I just wanted to give you a heads up in case you're looking for something to watch on TV tonight. Scare Tactics on Sci-Fi, 9 o'clock tonight. Jessica Simpson is in trouble, people. We made an intervention.
What's wrong?
In Touch Magazine and Us Magazine are reporting that she is drinking heavily.
Uh-oh.
After losing her dog, Daisy, and her breakup with Tony Romo.
She's given up on her dog? Wow, that's not much of a dedication.
I didn't hear it all sloppy drunk, just screaming Daisy off the balcony.
Daisy!
Daisy! Daisy!
Come back, get away from the coyote! Friends say that she mentioned if her ex-husband, Nick Lachey, got engaged before she did, she would throw herself off a balcony.
Oh, God, yes. Memo to Nick Lachey.
No, kidding. We don't want that.
Really? Is it?
No.
What's the point of competition?
I don't know, but we don't want that to happen.
You know what, Jessica Simpson?
Someone help out Jessica.
You know what, Jessica Simpson, though, would be like one of those first floor balconies, like
4 feet. Sprain her ankle.
Ow!
Why do people do this? Doesn't even work. Speaking of Jessica, she's got a new TV show. See, she's got something to live for.
Oh.
It's called The Price of Beauty, where she travels all over the world to see what women put themselves through in order to be attractive to men.
Okay.
Okay.
Recently, she was made up as a geisha girl while in Japan.
Hey!
And her father slash manager Joe, actually her manager slash father Joe, I should put it in
slash
that
boyfriend,
order,
I right. think,
says recently in a trip to Uganda, She learned that obesity was a sign of sex appeal in the African nation. And the diets,
the ladies love it.
And the brides-to-be have to go on a special diet that fattens them up. It's a 5,000-calorie-a-day diet before their wedding.
Wow.
How happy is Jessica Simpson to find a country where being fat is sexy? Oh, she'll never leave. She'll
become such a fat ass that when you walk down the street, people go, God damn it, that's a big fat ass!
She'll become a Ugandan citizen.
It's true.
That's right.
And it's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. I'll give you the DVD list in about an hour. Meanwhile, new Kiss album drops today.
Yes!
Sonic
yes.
Boom is the name of their first original studio album in many years. So you can check out Kiss.
Now, was any one of the three of you being facetious or being funny when you yelled?
No, I'm super stoked.
I'm looking forward to hearing the new Kiss, quite frankly. Yes.
Huh.
When we had, I remember when Gene Simmons was on a couple years ago, and he told us on the air, he said, we will never make another Kiss studio album because there's no money in it anymore. You can't sell any records, and that's, no one cares. And I was really bummed out because they have continued to make good records throughout the years. Well, the last album was real good.
I think the new CD is just sort of a publicity tool for their new 39-city tour, which is where they really make their money. So I think they're just using the new music to sort of hype out the new tour.
That makes sense.
Also, new today, Backstreet Boys. This Is Us, their new CD, is dropping today. To which I'm also dropping my new CD as an answer CD for This Is Us, saying we don't care. And in a related story, apparently, Brian Littrell of the Backstreet Boys has the swine flu.
So there is some good news.
There is some good news.
All right.
God has seen fit to strike down the Backstreet Boys with swine flu. Did you hear about Bones, by the way? Bones, the show on Fox?
No. Yeah, I know the show.
TV series on Fox had to shut down production after a widely scattered outbreak of swine flu on the set.
Wow. Awesome.
So it's for real, people. Run for the hills. Run for the hills.
Kevin has pointed out that most of us kind of got over the swine flu after the initial media reports fizzled out.
Yeah.
But now is when it's kicking in and just killing people.
Yeah. It's really a problem now. No one's really talking.
And by killing people, you mean infecting a lot of people who then get better quickly.
I mean, more kids have already died of swine flu this year than died of the flu in all of last winter, for instance.
Nice job, Kevin.
It's pretty serious.
Why does Kevin hate children?
I'm going to source that statistic.
You
right
like dead children.
I'm going to source that statistic.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Elizabeth Shue is 46 years old today. Did you ever see Adventures in Babysitting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's so cute in that movie. Matthew Sweet, singer and songwriter, is 45 years old today. Amy Jo Johnson from Felicity and the Power Rangers is 39. Yoan Griffith from Fantastic Four. He was also Horatio Hornblower in that TV series. He is 30. Stop giggling. He is a real character.
Yep.
He is 36 years old. Jeremy Sisto from Law & Order and 6 Feet Under is 35. And boxer Ricky Hatton celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, a new episode of 90210 tonight at 8 on the CW. Hey, look, it's Sinead Grimes from the program joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, Sinead?
I'm good. How are you?
I felt so bad for you because you show up and you're so nice to get up early and come in and see us. And on the one hand, you got Dave the King of Mexico going, oh, I love you and Degrassi so much. You're my favorite. I have a crush on Darcy. And then on the other hand,
Darcy for so long.
And then you turn around, you finally shake Dave, you finally push him off your leg, and you turn around and there's Jared Leto going, hey, how you doing? What's going on?
I know, right? It's a nice way to wake up. I'm not going to lie.
He's putting the moves on. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I only assume he would because he can. So why wouldn't he, right?
He's a charmer that way.
Because he has that option.
I know you've been acting for a few years now, and you've had obviously quite a bit of success with 90210. But are you used to that yet? You walk into a room and everybody kind of already has an opinion of you or knows something about you or has something to talk to you about. I mean, that's got to be weird.
It's a little weird. It is. I'm a people person. So, you know, I don't mind it at all. I've, you know, fortunately gotten to meet a lot of cool people because of this job. But it doesn't get normal ever when everyone knows your name when you walk in the room.
I know you've said before that, you know, you were prepared for a certain amount of publicity. You weren't prepared for the explosion of press being on a show like 90210. I mean, having to deal with paparazzi and stuff like that. I mean, boy, that must have just been so eye-opening when the show first went on last year and took off as big as it did.
It's such a culture shock, you know, and so few people have to experience something like that. But it really, it's a great display of yourself and all your flaws. And
which is not exactly what you want.
You learn a lot about who you are and who you want to be.
Sure.
And, you know, it's kind of, you figure out who you want to be in the public eye and who you get to be at home, and you figure out how to separate the two. It just takes a little bit of, you know, transitioning.
Have you had to throw down? Have you had to beat anyone up? Any photographers?
Not yet. Sean Penn? Not yet, but, you know, I've come close a couple times. You have some run-ins with some bloggers, you know, but there's been no drama, fortunately.
You get enough drama at work with this show, with what your character is going through. How are your fans reacting to how crazy life has gotten for Annie?
You know, I've been very lucky that the fans are kind of enjoying this darker journey that Annie has been going on. I was a little bit nervous how they would respond because Annie was so, you know, so the opposite last year. She was so perky and she was kind of like, you know, the happy core of the show.
Right.
And you know, they could love it or they could hate it. And I think they were all dying to see a change, like I was. So, you know, layers to a character really make you love them. Well, and I think they're, you know, starting to feel invested in me.
What percentage of the audience would you say is remembers 90210 from the 90s and is here versus brand new people, never saw it?
Oh, my God.
Never thought about it?
Probably, like...
Very small, right? That
yeah,
followed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'd be surprised. I'd say probably closer to like 30, maybe 40%.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I loved the old show.
Sure.
And a lot of my friends grew up on it too. So there's a lot of original fans who are staying tuned, but love the show for their own reasons now. You know,
right.
I think it initially got people watching and then they realized that it was kind of a very different take on Beverly Hills.
Yeah, how rich are the people on your show? Because it seems to us like they're beyond just well off. They're crazy rich, right?
Yeah, they are crazy rich. It's kind of just stupid rich, you know? They've got private jets and insane mansions and, you know, they throw around, you know, money talk like it's nothing. So it's very fantasized and whatever, but that's TV.
I'd like to be stupid rich just for a while.
Just for a little bit.
Just to be able to go,
you know?
I'm going to take my plane to San Diego. There's an ice cream shop I love there, and then I'm going to come right back.
Why not? I know, San Diego, we did that.
Do you have people who get really invested in your character on the show and have an opinion on what she should be doing? They come up and tell you what they think of what the plot line is and what should happen next?
You know, I not so much with, you know, advice or things like that, but this year it's just been like people really, really excited that I'm bad, you know? They're like, oh, I'm so happy you're finally angry. Oh, girl, I loved it when you told off Naomi, you know? So it's been fun to hear everyone's reaction.
Well, that's the key to success in this business is kill a guy on your show. And then all of a sudden, everybody's
hey,
on your side.
Why not?
Sometimes they deserve it.
What happens on tonight's very special Beverly Hills 90210 at 8 o'clock on the CW?
I'm not even sure where we left off. I know.
Oh,
that
you should watch the show, Shanae. It's good.
I do watch the show. Thank you very much. But I work a lot, so I've got it all stocked up on TiVo. I know the last time we were on the boat, and I told Naomi off, and, you know, you're going to see me and that character Jasper kind of, you know, our relationship's going to evolve a little bit. You can see he's got something behind his eyes when he looks at me, and something's a bit off. So he's gonna, you know, be a big influence on me in the future. He's gonna start to kind of manipulate my situation, and I'm
so
gonna,
not a positive influence at
I'm
all.
Finally gonna have a friend, you know. I don't know if it's a
she
good
gets
friend,
a friend. Come on.
Psycho Mike, are you going to a 90210 party tonight?
You know it.
I hope
you know
so.
It. I'm gonna go viewing party at listener Dwan's house. It's gonna be awesome.
Ooh.
Lister DeWan, by the way, who has been emailing us, tweeting us, texting us, writing us, showing up, begging for you to come on so that he could talk to you because he loves you so much.
Aww,
we did nothing
awesome.
But give him the heads up that you were going to be on at exactly one time, and he hasn't called.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He'll yell at us, by the way.
Well,
I wanted
awesome.
To talk to Shanae.
I'll say hello anyway.
Okay, there you go.
Hello, DeWan.
Yes. See, Dwan, see, you've got, she loves you too, but unfortunately you couldn't get off your fat, lazy ass to give her a call, so I don't know what the deal is.
He's not
yeah,
much
he does.
Of a stalker, is he?
No,
he's
pretty
lazy.
He's
a lazy stalker.
But he does have 90210 parties, and I'm sure you hear that from fans all the time, that people really look forward to your show and getting together and kind of watching it together and having fun and stuff.
It's
so.
Fun to do that. We try to get together. We try and have our own little 90210 parties, too.
How
it's,
many episodes have you shot ahead of where they're airing now?
We're on 11.
11?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And it's airing the fifth tonight.
And what happens in 6 through 11?
Again, the relationship is going to continue to evolve.
Okay.
It's a fun one, folks.
She knows what she's allowed to say, Kevin, and
yeah,
what she's not.
I can't give away anything.
I thought I could totally just surprise her into giving us all the details.
It's early. You may trick me into it.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but I'm surprised how nice you are, Shanae, because Aww. You just assume people on shows like that are, you know, all Hollywood and stuff, but you're
I'm
super
Canadian,
cool.
baby. I'm
she
not
is
Hollywood.
Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You haven't turned into an ugly American yet.
Not yet.
Well, it's great to meet you. Congratulations on the success of the show. Another new episode tonight at 8 on the CW. Don't miss Beverly Hills 90210. Shanae Grimes, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for Q, and it's 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. This is very exciting because, well, I don't think they've had a record out since I was a teenager. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the return of 30 Seconds to Mars. Jared, Shannon, Tomo in our studio with the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you, man? Hello.
Very hey, good boys. Good to see you again. I'm just saying it's been a while. I'm just saying what's up.
It's been a while. Thanks for having us. We are excited to be here. Long time coming. And thank you.
We need to first things first, we need to shout out the people around the world. We deal with a lot of musicians on this program, a lot of bands, and they have a lot of fans. But no one is more rabid than your online fans. The response that we have once they found out that you guys were going to be on our show has just been unbelievable. People all over the world tuning in specifically just to hear what's new with 30 Seconds to Mars today. It's crazy.
Now, was that you guys just writing in?
Yeah,
it was can't wait for the 30 Seconds to Mars.
It was my mother, my cousins, my grandmother.
I know Elizabeth in Argentina just emailed to say how excited she is to hear Kings and Queens in about 20 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for all your great music. I love it. Please come back to Argentina. I mean, these are the messages that people are sending from all over. So even though you've been gone a long time, I guess what I'm telling you is people have been excited to hear you're coming back.
Well, it's good to know. We have been gone for a couple of years. We haven't been touring. We've been locked in a cave here in Los Angeles working on a record, and we're so happy to be done with it finally.
What is working on the record like for you guys? Because some bands sail through it. Some almost break up every time they write a song.
Actually, I broke up with myself a bunch of times.
Did you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Was it tough?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, there was... Each song is different. Some songs, you know, made you want to just disappear forever. But we had a great team. And fortunately, we had so many battles going on outside the music that it made the process of making the record seem relatively easy.
Well, at least you guys were all on the same side, right, compared to all the people on the outside that you were fighting.
Yeah, it was intense. And, I mean, there's a reason the record is called This Is War. It's aptly named, and you know, we toured the world. We had a lot of fun. We were fortunate enough to have some success, and we came home to Los Angeles and started the record, and the world fell apart, not only with us, but with all of us. So it was an intense time.
So you're done with This Is War, and then it comes out on December 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's BS. You're done with it. Let's have it.
I thought you knew something that I didn't.
I'm just saying, you're just going to hold on to it for that long.
That's what I say, because the longer I hold on to it, the longer I'm going to change it. And you can't stop this guy
from doing stuff on the record, you know?
But I wrote about 120 songs. We whittled it down to about 20 or 30 that we worked on, and then we ended up with 12. So,
all right, I want to hear from the other guys of this 120 songs that you wrote. How many of them sucked? Seriously,
about 100.
No, man, 120 of them. They're all pretty good in different ways, but you know, we're pretty picky about what makes it to the record. So,
It's nice to have something to choose from. When you talk about the This Is War, and I think a lot of people, casual fans, certainly will not know that some of the battles that you're describing are with your record company. What's this thumbnail version of what happened there? Is it they were trying to get you to put out a record when you weren't ready, or what?
No, not at all. It was that we, you know, it's an age old story of art and commerce, and what happened is we went and had some success finally after years and years and years. We were signed since 1998, and you know, we unfortunately had to fight in order to get to a place where we felt like we were being treated fair. So, you know, it was an intense battle. It was something that was important. It'll always be part of our story, but it's past us now. And
Was there a time when you thought you wouldn't get through it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Many days. It was one of the most difficult challenges of our entire lives, but we felt like we were fighting for the right reasons, and we believed in what we were battling over.
So. Give us first and last name of the enemy. Just a couple of names.
We have changed the name of EMI to Everything Mars Incorporated. Yeah. So it is our record company now. But right. There are a lot of great people there, and we were never battling the people there. We were battling an idea. We were battling an make peace, and we certainly embraced the opportunity to make peace, and we're past it. We're celebrating now, and we're working with a lot of people that we love at the label. from, you know, Bill Carroll and Howard and Greg and all these guys that are so amazing.
But give us some names of some bad people.
Oh, man.
give me a few months and I'll get back to you. Okay. Right.
Let me ask you one more question on this, and then we'll take a break and come back with more with 30 Seconds to Mars on the Kevin Bean Show, including the world premiere of their brand new single called Kings and Queens, just minutes away. And that is, were you, when the new record came out, was it always going to have to be on a label, or did you have the opportunity to go it alone as some artists have lately?
We had the opportunity to explore other options, and you know, we did our homework and decided that the best thing to do for us was to make peace. You know, EMI addressed our concerns, and we were able to move forward. It was really that simple. So it was the best option for us.
So this CD is called This Is War, and then next summer are you going to come out with This Is Peace?
Sure. It's a double album.
It's a double album. That's what you said. You wrote 120 songs. I don't know.
Yeah,
we're going to take a break. When we come back with 30 Seconds to Mars, we're going to find out about some of the songs that did make the record. We're going to talk about the tour plans, because I know there are some already, albeit a tiny amount announced so far, I guess. And we also want to find out about this unusual contest that you have for the album cover. I mean, that's sounds like an awesome idea for your fans as well. So all of that in the world premiere of Kings and Queens, new music from 30 Seconds to Mars. We'll return with the guys right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show.
I'm having a Twilight breakfast. I'm looking at the screen at one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen in my life. I can't even say.
That's Lisa May's computer, so I don't know.
I can't, well.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. Those are the voices of 30 Seconds to Mars in our studio. The new album is called This Is War, out December 8th. We world premiere Kings and Queens, new music from the band. And, well, Kevin, you got the official time clock. We have to hit it at 7:45. So how much time?
Five minutes from right now.
So we have 5 minutes to take care of bunches of business.
Here we go.
You said that the new album, guys, is song-oriented, meaning there's lots of different kind of songs. They don't all fit together as an album? Is that what you mean?
It's the weirdest thing. We actually decided to put songs on the record.
Wow, why not? Trying something new.
Because you used to do spoken word, and that was odd.
That was strange. And then there was that pan flute thing that Tomo was into.
But what did you mean when you said, we were off the air and you said it's song-oriented? What does that mean?
Well,
different
I think
styles or something?
No, I mean, it's really just a rather than a focus on the obtuse, it's really focused on the song. But this record for us is really about transformation. I think a lot of people are going to be very surprised when they hear the record. A lot of people are going to be very surprised. It's 30 Seconds to Mars, and that's exciting for us.
Is it a whole one unit that you would prefer people listen to all the way through, or is it?
It is very much an album. No, it's a very much a conceptual record. It's very thematic, and you know, the difference from I think one of the things that makes 30 Seconds to Mars different is the fact that we put a lot of care and time into making an experience, an album, rather than a collection of just singles or songs.
See, I always feel bad because I'm not really an album guy. Like, I'll find...
Well, there's four or five of us left on the planet, so...
I'll find a song that I love, and then I'll listen to that 175,000 times.
You have brought down the entire industry, so thank you very much for that.
You've
trained all the kids out there.
And everybody we ask, they go, oh, yeah, it's a whole thing, and I go, oh... Yeah. I'm missing that.
Guys, I'm bad. What's the point of Pink Floyd as a kid for me? What's the point of being in a rock band and having the success that you've had if you don't use it to, I don't know, get Shakira to do a duet with you on the new record? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, I was thinking that very thing as we were in the car on the way here. Shakira, amazing. Where are you? I miss you.
It would be perfect, right?
Why are you not in my life? Shake your bonbon, or was that Ricky Martin?
That was Ricky Martin.
I'll take Ricky too.
Okay.
Right. Tell us about The Face of Mars. Guys,
The Face of Mars was this kind of bizarre idea I had to do 2,000 different record covers.
And, that sounds economical.
Yeah, and that little bit of silence right there is what I heard when I told the record company about it. And it was, probably a very dumb idea, but it was a very fun idea, and it looks phenomenal. And basically, we put a different fan, friend, or family member, but I would say 99% fans. There's a different person's face on every single copy of the record.
So they would send you a photo of themselves or whatever they thought would be a good cover art.
Yes.
And you would pick 2,000 of them? Are you done with that now?
Yes. And they also sent their ID, a release, and their DNA and a blood sample.
Nice. So you can clone them.
Yeah. It had to be blood. Well, there were other body fluids, but, you know, didn't get plastic.
All are acceptable, but you got to use the blood.
So, yeah, we did that.
All right, we're about, about 2.5 minutes away from the world premiere of Kings and Queens, brand new music from 30 Seconds to Mars.
What's in October 13th, you can get the single and you can pre-order the record on iTunes.
October 13th. What is the what are the tour plans now that you finally have emerged from the cave where you made the record? Are you probably looking forward to getting out there and playing?
It's a good question because we decided we're not going to tour at all.
No. Wow, that's interesting.
We're done with touring.
Yeah, I
mean, a lot of bands, that's the only way they can make money now.
It's too trendy.
Okay.
So we decided we would stay home and do a virtual tour.
I see that you're going to Paris and to London.
Yeah, well, we look in the screen up there, and we're getting inspired. we're gonna go to Europe in November, and then we're gonna come back to the States and maybe play a couple shows here, and then on and on and on. But we are gonna shoot a video this weekend.
Okay.
And we are going to be requesting some volunteers.
Give the information.
Just check on our website or keep your ears or fingers ready for Twitter.
Okay.
And we will release some information, but it will be shot here in Los Angeles, and part of it's downtown and part of it's on the west side.
Just before we play Kings and Queens, tell us what we need to know.
That this song we worked on for 2 years of our lives. It was produced by a guy named Flood and Steve Lillywhite, both of who are members of the family now. And it is a song that is really, really important to us.
This is it.
Hey, guys. This is it. Congratulations. By the way, can I say congratulations to the guys
of
here?
Of course.
Okay,
congratulations to you as well, Jared.
Tomo.
Wow. Brand new music, world premiere, Shannon. Kings and Queens. This is 30 Seconds to Mars.
right. That was a little weird because we played 30 Seconds to Mars. That was the world premiere of their song Kings and Queens.
And they couldn't have hightailed out of here any faster.
As soon as we started the song, they ran.
We ran. We couldn't handle it.
We were being punked or something. Where did you go? You went out to your cars?
We want to hear it on the radio.
You want to hear it on the radio in your car?
Yeah.
It has to be beamed into space. And then back through the car in order for it to be official.
Okay.
So how did it sound to you? I mean, the mix in the studio is one thing. Hearing it on the radio is the true test. What did you think of it when you heard it?
Sounded pretty good.
You know, you make a choice when you listen to it. You want to hear all the mistakes, all the accidents, or do you just want to kind of close off your ears a little bit and enjoy it? And so we just enjoyed it.
Is that a children's choir for real at the end, or is that a studio effect?
It's not. What we did is I came up with this idea to do something called The Summit. And we basically invited people from all over the world to join us here at the Avalon in Los Angeles to record on the record. So it was a giant experiment. People sang, people stomped, people clapped, people made bizarre noises,
sure. Some as they
which,
will do.
Yes, as they do, as we encourage them to do. But that's actually, it went so well, we did it in 8 different countries around the world.
No kidding.
And then one day I got a message on Twitter from a kid in Iran who was disappointed that he couldn't make it to one of the global summits that we did.
So you dropped behind enemy lines?
Yeah. So I went I went deep cover.
You parachuted in.
And right. After learning to speak, is it Farsi?
Yes.
So we did a digital version of the summit as well. So what you hear is actually thousands of people from all over the world.
That's
singing.
A very cool idea. Was it written that way with an ear toward performing it live on stage? Because a lot of people like to sing along with songs.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it was. I think the impetus was trying to bring the live experience to the record, and also to do something interactive with our family around the world. And as you know, and remarked before, we do have the most wonderful and amazing fans on the planet Earth. So
We're certainly hearing from the Netherlands a lot today for whatever reason. I don't know why you're so big there, but we're hearing from them, that's for sure.
You know.
Look, that okay. I don't know if you're...
What do you mean?
Your answer was, you know.
Okay.
Can I just say, having heard the song for the first time, and I know you worked really hard on it, it doesn't suck. Oh, so congratulations. It is called Kings and Queens. We were very proud to world premiere it with the band in our studio here this morning. The album is called This Is War. That'll be out on December 8th. The single is available when? I'm sorry, again, October what?
October 13th. You can get the single and pre-order the record
on iTunes.
So
that's a week from today.
Yeah,
there you go, week from today. Jared, Shannon, Tomo, thank you so much. Great to have you in again. It's been a long time. We missed you, boys. Welcome back.
Appreciate it. Thank We're going to put a big sticker on our CD. Kevin and Bean say it doesn't suck.
It doesn't suck.
Buy this record.
We're proud to be on that. Thanks, thank you, guys.
Thank you for
thank
having
you.
Us.
Eat right, right at your desk. Campbell's. Good. At work. I'm Nora Wells with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Nora.
Hey!
7:57.
No. Ralph, coming up next, about 10 minutes or so on the Kevin and Bean Show, a guy with a worse job than yours, Mike Rowe, will be here, the host of Dirty Jobs on Discovery.
That is yet to be decided.
If it's worse?
Yep. Yeah. Love Mike. Looking forward to him coming in. And actor, comedian Kevin Pollak in the final hour of this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. All that straight ahead. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
Not familiar with him, but I'm sure it'll be a good interview. First of all, great news. You know local Southern California weather girl Alita Loresta?
Yes.
Bean has tortured us with for... too long now to even keep
every day for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on with Alita?
She has just accepted a job in New York City.
What?
So hopefully Bean won't be bothering us with that anymore.
Oh, thank God.
So best of luck, Alita.
She's great.
Whatever
all,
you do,
Bean's driven us
in your
crazy.
New job and your new career. We wish you the best of luck and a speedy trip to the other side of the country.
That was happening, but I didn't see where she was going, and if there's a chance I might get that channel, because that way I can still continue to watch her.
Well, we hope not.
We hope whatever time zone it is, it'll be different than when we work with you.
Yes.
That's what
Booby! Because you've driven us a little crazy with her.
Another day, another protest. This time, it is Born Free USA.
What's that?
An animal rights group who is... furious with TLC,
also known as the Learning Channel back in the day.
For what?
It's in a network that airs John and Kate plus Hate and other... Uh-huh.
Big People, other, Little World.
Other, yeah, other
little
freak
people,
shows.
Big World, whatever that is.
They're furious about their new special, which premiered this past Sunday, October the 4th, but plans to be aired again sometime on the network.
Was it My Baby's a Chimp?
My Monkey Baby.
I recorded that. I'm so happy about it.
My Monkey Baby.
Yes.
Is made Born for USA furious because it chronicles couples who keep monkeys as children.
Treat them as children, dress them as children.
Oh, yes. There's little monkey dresses, little monkey toys, little monkey strollers. There are people who are obsessed with their monkey children. And Born for USA, this kind of television show just encourages this sort of behavior.
Now, I haven't seen the show, but what is the downside for a monkey versus keeping a dog or a cat as a pet and
it's not a pet, Bean.
Here's
it's
the
not
thing.
A pet.
Yeah,
it's a baby.
Let's clarify the word pet, by the way. Because I was furious over the weekend. A Pennsylvania woman was mauled by her pet bear as she went to clean his cage. No, if something can kill you, it's not your pet. It's simply a crazed wild animal you've stuffed into a cage.
That you're dumb enough to keep near
That's
you.
That's right. It's not your pet. A pet must be, and the definition of pet must be, this animal will not kill you given the opportunity.
Well, a dog could kill you, so that but you yeah, can't no, make
what,
that.
But 99.9% chance your dog's ever going to kill you, unless it gets rabid, or you slather yourself in Alpo and lay on the floor and don't feed your dog for a month.
Ralph's right. I mean, dogs can kill you, but generally, they share the same sentiment that you do, is that we love each other and it's a relationship.
That's true of monkeys, too, though.
Never throughout the life of a bear does it ever share that sentiment. It always is thinking about killing you.
Not to get into the middle of this argument, but these people don't treat their monkeys as pets. They treat these monkeys as children.
Yeah, and they're not pets, Kevin. Why don't you ask Angela Sampry, who was profiled in the special, who was brutally attacked by her monkey when she dared to touch his peanuts.
Oh.
And by peanuts, I mean...
She touched his penis?
What?
Peanuts.
Peanuts.
Oh, peanuts.
Apparently, monkey mom Angela Sampry regrets touching her son monkey's peanuts when she was brutally attacked.
Her son.
That's not a pet. If it's going to brutally attack you if you touch its peanuts, it's not a pet.
This sounds like the best TV show ever.
It does sound like the
best TV show. Jim Johnson, one monkey dad, says, if I hear someone call her a monkey, I throw a fit. She's my daughter, 100%. I need these people to suffer. Anyway, Born for USA wants you to contact TLC and have them pull it from their lineup.
No way. I want to see it again.
Because there are approximately 15,000 non-human primates in private hands in the U.S. alone.
Murder.
And this program may, in fact, increase that number. Monkeys do not make good pets, they warn. And they certainly do not make good surrogate children. USA.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
My pet bear mauled my wife. It was never your pet.
Nope.
If that's what happened.
It was just biding its time.
It was just a big bear that was looking to eat you.
Oh, I love crazy people.
Kevin, if you have...
I do.
Seriously, TiVo'd this show.
I seriously
You must bring in highlights. I need to hear from the monkey.
What are you sitting on, by the way, over there, Kev? What are you waiting for? I forgot I had it. My monkey baby.
Yes.
Just sitting on your TiVo, primed, ready to take a look at.
Because my wife saw it about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago. She said, this is right up your alley. So I set it to tape, but then I forgot. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Yes.
My monkey baby.
I'm furious to bring it in yesterday.
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
You know what else is cheesed off? Muse, the band Muse.
Why?
Popular band Muse.
Why?
You know Muse?
Sure.
Play their music Muse here on our radio show. Muse.
Unbelievable new album.
Muse has a new album. Muse.
Yes. Why are they mad?
Because Glenn Beck likes their album. Apparently, Glenn Beck went on his radio show raving about the new Muse album during his review. They didn't even wait. A representative of Muse called Glenn Beck and asked him to stop saying how much he liked their album.
Oh, my God.
Because they don't want his endorsement. For the resistance?
Yeah. I can see that.
Stop liking us, Muse asked.
I think that's stupid, by the way.
I think it's hilarious. I wish Glenn Beck had a monkey, and then he went to try to take the monkey's peanuts away. That's what I wish would happen. Well, I don't know. I was just trying to take his peanuts, and the monkey turned on me. Not soon enough. I was cleaning my pet bear's cage. It mauled me. I threw dog food on the other side of the cage to keep it busy. Didn't seem interested. Just killed me. Screw you, lady.
Those people deserve what they get.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with having a rabid llama as a pet?
We need to thin the herd. This
Bean
is a good way to do it.
All animals can be pets.
I know.
No. Here's the anaconda. Anaconda ate my child. Oh, by the way, the anaconda in a cage with 9,000-foot python I had in the bathtub ate our child. Yeah, because it was not your pet.
I didn't say anything like that. All I was saying is having a monkey as a pet seems
not
like...
Not a pet.
Pretty reasonable.
No.
Seems reasonable.
Not
That's
reasonable.
All.
Wild animal.
They're wild, yeah.
Ask the lady who had the chimp and took her face off. How good pets are.
That was a setback in their relationship.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Elizabeth Shue is 46 years old. Matthew Sweet turns 45. Amy Jo Johnson from Felicity and Power Rangers is 39. Yoan Griffith from Fantastic Four and Horatio Hornblower. He did a voice the other day on Family Guy. So I was sitting in the green room and he came in. Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
No kidding.
Could
That's
not
weird.
Have been funnier, nicer, more normal. Good dude. He's 36 years old. Jeremy Sisto turns 35 years old today. And boxer Ricky Hatton celebrates his 31st birthday. There's only one Ricky Hatton. You ever watch a Hatton fight? And they have a brass
yes.
band that comes out, and they
yes.
all sing along.
Yeah.
And then Floyd Mayweather knocks him out.
Then he kills him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 13 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike Rowe is here from Dirty Jobs.
Don't even try.
Premiering tonight for a new season, tonight at 9 on Discovery. What? I always talk like this. What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike
Rowe. Did I have the wrong microphone on?
Oh. Sorry, hang on. There we go.
That's all right, there we me. Go. That's all right. me.
Sorry. Way to kill my comedy. See, even with me doing the fake big voice.
Do it again. Do it again.
Listen to when Mike comes on, though. Listen to the difference when I go, all right, here's Mike Rowe from the Discovery Channel.
All right, here's Mike Rowe from the Discovery Channel.
See what I mean?
I think it's virtually indistinguishable.
F you.
Mike, it's great to see you again. And we have many, many questions, as we always do when you're kind enough to stop by. But we need to start finishing up the conversation we had before you came in the studio. We were talking about monkeys and having monkeys as pets. You, more than anyone we know, have experience with monkeys. Tell me about them.
Well, listen, I mean, the book on the monkeys, I think you guys touched on all the big things. But I can tell you that when we were in South Africa, we did an episode of Dirty Jobs. It's become, I mean, I won't say legendary because that sounds a bit grand, but a really important segment where everything went completely wrong at a monkey rehab center in KwaZulu-Natal.
These are monkeys that have drug problems?
This is a story that I heard about while we were shooting Shark Week.
Right.
And it rained and we couldn't get out in the boat. So I thought, you know, let's take a little trip and see what this woman, Dawn McGowan was her name, and she was looking after monkeys that had been hit by cars or shot by farmers, because farmers shoot monkeys because they eat all their crops. And we thought, okay, this could be kind of a warm, squishy, feel-good, but funny thing. We go to this crazy outpost, and the woman who greets me, Dawn, is covered in scars and scabby wounds.
Oh.
It looked like she fell down a flight of steel stairs
that
and hit everyone.
That is not sexy.
No, it's not. And, I mean, she was a sweet woman, and we walked in her house, and it was like Lance Link, secret chimp on meth. I mean, they were everywhere, these things.
In her house, free?
In her house, she was... They were everywhere. Imagine dogs and cat. Imagine an eccentric cat lady.
Right.
Except vervet monkeys.
Wow.
Mouths like German shepherds. They move at the speed of light. Within 5 minutes, I was bleeding from my face. Our camera guy was bleeding from his head. And our sound guy had been bitten to the bone through his calf.
Why were you still there?
Because
how long did it take for you to go, let's get out of this house?
Immediately, we realized we had just been the victim of horrible judgment. But we're 3.5 hours from Durban. The sun is going down.
Right.
There are burglars on the roads, and you can't drive at night.
So you had to spend the night there?
Pinned down in the bunkhouse, losing blood and the will to live faster than you can make sense of any of it.
I'm never going to make it out alive.
Well, we didn't think. I'm thinking, geez, the network's going to kill me. Production's going to kill me. We don't have a story. Fortunately, we all had cameras and we shot everything. And we came back and looked at it. And I thought, you know what? It's not much of a story, but it's kind of funny. So we cut it together, put it on the air, and it's become a thing. So,
but was there a time when you were hunkered down just praying to not be murdered that you really thought, hey, I could die at the hand of a monkey tonight. This could be my obituary. Is Mike Rowe, successful TV host, killed by monkeys?
There was a moment when I was in my my bunk, and I'm on the top bunk, and my buddy Barsky's on a satellite phone talking to production, and outside of the window is about a 20-pound monkey, which is big, you know, and he's got his face pressed against the glass, and his lips are open, and he's got these canine teeth. And Barsky's on the phone going, look, I'll be honest with you. We don't know how we're going to get out of here. The monkeys have the high ground, and we've got a serious morale problem with the rest of the crew. Chris has lost a lot of blood. Mike just doesn't seem to give a crap.
Was the monkey at the window doing the I'm going to cut off your neck sign?
No, but, you know, if he understood the use of his middle finger, he would have employed it with extreme prejudice.
So was this lady just woefully unprepared, untrained to handle those monkeys, or are they just wild animals and nobody could have done any better than she was?
Well, honestly, I think the moral of the Don McGowan tale is that, you know, as eccentric as she was, she really understood the stakes. You know, she speaks Swahili, and she lives... She speaks the universal language of the monkey.
Right.
But, I mean, she literally was sutured up in two or three different places, as was her husband, who was missing half a finger.
She had a husband?
Well, they'd been together 23 years.
He had a wife?
They were still working it out.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, it was one of the most phenomenal households I've ever seen. But, look, they
would you recommend that other people do that?
Oh, my God, no.
Okay, just
no. No, and look, really just to put a cap on it,
yes.
when we went to the very tip down there on the Horn, there's a state park down there, and, you know, I mean, it's beautiful. And we were sitting in the car just looking around, and a park ranger came up, and he started chatting us up. And he said, listen, you guys might want to keep your windows up. You know, the baboons kind of run wild. And we're looking at the baboons, not 40 feet away. And I said, well, like, I mean, really, what are they going to do, hop in the car? And he laughed, and he said, well, last week ago, one hopped in the car and tore a family of four apart.
Oh, my God.
Pulled all their arms off and ate them. You know, and we're just looking at him, and I'm thinking, you know, clearly this guy's, you know, it's just hyperbole, right?
He's right. Like,
no, it happens every 6 months or so.
Literally?
People feed the baboons like they're hairy little people. They're not.
What does that do to your write-up in the Lonely Planet Travel Guide? I mean, that has got to discourage visitors.
Well,
I would
Michelin
think.
Will knock off a star, you know, just as a just matter
for
of course.
Dismemberment?
And Zagat will destroy you. So.
All right, Mike, let me ask you this. Sure. Mike Rowe is here, by the way. We're talking about their dirty jobs, or will be in a moment tonight at 9 on Discovery. You've worked with so many kinds of animals throughout your long history on the Dirty Job show. I mean, you've had camels and alligators and chickens and beetles and everything like that. Are the monkeys the most dangerous? Or are they the ones that have inflicted the most pain?
No. The ones that... I mean, physical pain, I would probably say that my crew suffered more at the hands and teeth of monkeys than any other. But, you know, I mean, ostriches, you know, don't get any press at all. But twice as many people died from ostrich attacks last year than sharks.
What?
Yeah.
How do they attack? What do they do?
Well, they're cassowaries. They got those jacked up legs. You know, they walk like aliens.
Right.
They can go from 0 to 45 miles an hour in about 4 steps.
Whoa!
Their breastplates are about 2 inches thick. I mean, you could shoot one with a .38, and the slug would literally bounce off the breastplate. They're dinosaurs. And their toes
are razor sharp.
Nobody tells you this.
Nobody told us that. We don't know that.
Look, you look at Swiss Family Robinson, and you think, yeah, I could ride an ostrich. No, you
can't. Do they bite, or do they kick you to death?
They'll kick you into next week. We saw one.
They have razor blade, did you say?
Razor sharp talons on their toes, and they have a kicking force of roughly 2,000 pounds. So you can't even see their feet move. The ostrich farmer that I was with showed me a belt buckle that he was wearing a couple of years ago that had – it was a big brass buckle, uh-huh. And it looked like it had been sliced with a blowtorch. It was an ostrich toenail that had kicked him right in the abdomen. Had he not been wearing his belt buckle, his guts would have been all over his shoes.
He did. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, look, I mean, what Ralph was saying before is, obviously, animals are wild.
Right.
And, you know, look, I love animals, but I'm not an animal expert, and I'm not an expert in anything. My role on the show is to kind of go out and be with people who I trust to do their thing with wherever we happen to be. And ultimately, the lesson with animals is just to remember they're fabulous and they're wonderful and wondrous, but they will eat you.
There is that. And that is a negative that might be important to keep in mind.
Way to put the downside off.
Come on, Mike.
I mean, they're hungry.
All right.
Too.
We got to take a quick break. Dirty Jobs is your show, returning tonight at 9 on the Discovery Channel. Our friend Mike Rowe is here. More when we continue right after this on the Kevin Bean Show. We're catching up with Mike Rowe, the host of Dirty Jobs, at 9 on the Discovery Channel, back for a new season. I heard you saying off the air, Mike, that There's never any danger of running out of jobs for you to profile on your television show. You got them backed up.
Sadly, I believe you're correct. I mean, it's funny. I haven't had an original idea since maybe season two. And when I realized we were going to run out of these things, we started affirmatively begging for them at the end of the show. And, man, you know, we've got hundreds of thousands of suggestions, and I don't know how to make it stop.
The most fascinating thing about this is that most of these jobs I don't even realize exist until you bring them up. I mean, here's a list of some of the things. Bug breeder.
Mm-hmm.
Hot tar roofer.
Sure.
Avian vomitologist.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ostrich farmer. Sure. Garbage pit technician.
Mm-hmm.
Coal miner. Alligator farmer. Cheesemaker. Mm-hmm. Zookeeper. Sure. Leather tanner. Oh, snake wrangler.
Yeah.
Parade float dismantler.
Oh, that's a good one.
Gandhi dancer. I don't even know what that is. What's a Gandhi dancer?
Back in the olden times, when the railroads were literally the lifeline of the nation, guys would maintain them on those little carts, you know, that you push, right?
Oh, sure. I've seen those in the movies, yeah.
Right. You just ride the rails with all your tools, fixing crooked ties and replacing bent iron.
Where does the dance come in? Is that just a name?
Honestly,
do they dance while they do it?
Some jobs, honestly, Kevin, are shrouded in mystery.
Okay, that's right. Well, here's my feeling on jobs. If you have to say these words, you need a different job.
That's right. That's bad poo.
Put that in context for us, Mike.
Oh, look, that could have been any number of shows. You know, I mean, that's bad poo. We've dealt with feces from every species, and I don't know. Really,
I remember you going into the sewers. I've seen that a couple of times.
The sewer was a big one. That was a San Francisco job, and a rat about the size of a loaf of bread came out of nowhere, got in the top of my boot, and started crawling downward.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm done with this job.
You look for the list to cross it off and move on. But
that's right. That's bad poo.
Woo! Oh, right. I know what I was doing.
Yes.
I was dismantling toilets.
Okay.
A building had been condemned, and I went in with the crew to recycle porcelain, and we couldn't get this toilet out of the wall. And somebody had thoughtlessly dry docked.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, no.
And so I'm on my hands and knees trying to wrestle this giant hunk of ancient porcelain out of its moorings. And
right.
There's just a very, very steamy, disappointing hunk of nonsense in there.
Right.
And eventually, to get the toilet off, I had to sit on it and jump up and down in a squatting position to actually snap it off of the wall. And when the toilet tore loose and the dry dock hopped up, it may have come in contact with me.
I see.
To which I exclaimed.
Wait, go back to the beginning. Sorry.
That's right. That's bad poop.
Yeah, that was the moment.
All right, let me ask you the only follow-up I can think of, and then we'll take some calls if people would like to ask you questions. 1-800-520-1067. Is there such a thing as good poop?
Oh, listen, I mean...
Isn't it all by definition? I mean, doesn't poop equal bad?
No, if it's yours, it's good. And if it's out of you, it's satisfying. I mean, look, clearly if we look at it more as a verb instead of a noun, we can all relate to a good poo versus a bad poo. Typically, you know, one that doesn't involve your own perspiration is a good poo. You know, the bad ones, you know, you got to wrestle with.
I didn't anticipate this conversation today, I'll tell you that.
I didn't anticipate
that's
the question.
Right. That's bad poo. Woo!
How hot are the showers you take at the end of filming your show?
There are no showers, Bean. It doesn't
matter. Oh, don't even say that.
No. I mean,
because I would imagine you must never feel like you can get clean with some of the things you've seen and had on you.
You know, honestly, it all washes off. There have been some that kind of get in your retina, I mean, in your mind. And, you know, you might be physically clean, but like after skull cleaning, for instance, it doesn't, you know, the showers don't help because it gets on your soul.
What were they cleaning skulls for?
Skulls are used in colleges, universities, hospitals for research.
Oh, as bongs? No.
But yeah, I mean, you know, carving the flesh off of a skull, whether, you know, it's a bear or a human. I mean, look, these things, flensing is it's a bloody mess, you know.
Yeah.
And those kinds of things leave an impression.
I know we have to take a break, and I know we got some great calls coming in for Mike Rowe, but I just have to touch briefly on your positive attitude about these things that you do. When you show up, you are there really in awe of the people who do it for a living. It's such a tribute, the way you perform their job.
Nice of you to say. Thanks. You know, look, TV sucks at two basic things, you know, when it comes to portraying regular people. We either turn them into punchlines, or we turn them into heroes. And really, most people are neither. And our hope with Dirty Jobs was simply to show up and do the work. So, you know, I'm not an apologist. I'm an apprentice, you know. And at the end of the day, I leave. But the fairest way to pay an honest tribute is to try the job. And if there's a joke, make sure it's on me, you know. And,
right.
And, you know, you learn as you go. Every now and then a monkey bites you. Every now and then maybe somebody poos on you. But at the end of the day, you have a few
You're
laughs.
You're very cavalier about that.
Hey, look, you know, we've done 243 jobs. If you can surprise me, you know, bring it.
That's right. That's bad poo.
Woo! Mike Rowe is better than we are tonight at 9 on the Discovery Channel. Your calls for him next, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
It is the world-famous K-Rock at 8:39.
That's right. That's bad poo.
Woo! It is indeed.
Mike, what's Mike that as Rowe? His ringtone, by the way?
Oh, good choice, Mike. Good choice.
Fun, thank you. Looking forward
Dirty
to
Dirty Jobs tonight at 9 on Discovery. We're going to squeeze in a few phone calls, and then Mr. Rowe has to go for a television appearance. Hey, real quick before we get to the calls, have you done much in the medical field? Anything with surgery or anything like that?
Not much. I mean, obviously, you go to a hospital, there's 1,000 things you can do. But, you know, I don't want the show to leave you just feeling depressed. And the truth is, I did laundry once in a hospital laundry room. And that's another one of those, I mean, it just sucks the soul out of you.
Yeah.
The stuff in and on those sheets. I mean,
yeah, it's all like, bad.
It's biohazard. And it's, you know, and look, you get it at a glance, and it's not the kind of place you really need to spend 10 hours in to understand it. So
I just want to see Mike Rowe sitting in on my brain surgery or something. I just think that would be fun. You know?
Wait a minute. Is that Mike Rowe?
I've never felt safer.
Is that a scalpel?
What's happening?
Scalpel? I mean, sharp thing?
What I don't want him to do this right now.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls from Mr. Rowe. Let's try Nick. He is on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Nick. Thanks for hanging on. You're on with Mike. Go ahead.
Morning. Morning, Mike.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, has anything ever made you vomit?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the very first episode that we aired, I was on a shark research boat up in Martha's Vineyard, and we were catching dogfish and tagging them with this biologist. And, you know, it wasn't a terrible day on the ocean, but it was a following sea, 4 or 5 foot swells. The night before, there'd been some gin, a birthday celebration. and I had my face in a meat grinder, basically making chum. And it was just the combination
That's
of all
those
things.
That's a hell of a combo right there.
Well, I was in the middle of a stand-up. I looked right to the camera, and I was halfway through a sentence, and it just hit me with the suddenness.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's happened to all of us. But I turned, and I vomited off the side of the boat in a way that is best described as projectile, I guess.
Sure.
And it was so impressive that I was able to turn back, you know, finish the stand-up, and, you know.
Did they leave it in?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You were there making chum. That was your job anyway, right?
That's exactly right. I hit a high and a low, Nick, at the same time. It was big day.
Wow.
Great call. Thank you. Let's go to another Mike. He is on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dirty Jobs, by the way, tonight at 9 on Discovery. Hey, Mike, you're on with Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Mike, you did an episode where you were collecting snakes with, I believe, a young lady scientist, and you were bitten numerous times.
37.
I was wondering if you remembered how many times you were bitten.
Indeed. 37 times. Put in bay up in Ohio.
Wait. 37 times for this one job or over your career?
No, that one day. That one day.
What? How do you not call it quits at like 20?
You know, because you're with a girl who's getting bit more than you are, and she's not crying about it. And suddenly you just have to man up. I mean, these are water snakes.
Not
they're
me.
Endangered. They don't have fangs, but they got a mouth full of teeth. And by the end of the day, we were both, I mean, covered with blood from the elbows to the tips of our toes. And she reaches into these nasty little dark holes. She pulls them out. They bite her. She knows they're going to bite her.
Why does she do that then?
So she can take them back to the lab, make them vomit, examine their puke, thereby determining whether or not the dietary surroundings are conducive to the propagation of the species.
I didn't understand any of that.
That's
but I would
an actual
do
job that's important that needs to be done?
If you want to save the snakes, you got to understand what they're eating. If you understand what they're eating, you can make sure that those things remain in abundance and you're not killing
I don't
them.
Think I want to save the snakes if they're biting me 37 times a day. I think that's where I say no.
A lot of reasonable people would see it as a sign.
Let's try Keith on line 6. Hi, Keith. You're on with Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs on Discovery. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, I was wondering, Mike, is there any job that you were close to, your producers close to having you do that you absolutely flat out refused to do? And what was that?
Well, sadly, Keith, you know, I'm the producer of the show, so I mean, one of them anyway. And so when we go out in the field, we're all on the same page, and we know that, you know, fundamentally my job is to try. I don't have to succeed. In fact, I can fall flat on my face and still kind of succeed.
Sure.
So there's nothing I've been unwilling to try, as long as it's legal and as long as somebody is legitimately there with me attempting to do the work as well. So the short answer is, you know, no, I'm game.
Wow.
Mike, I've heard every time these studies come out of the most dangerous jobs in America, it's always those fishermen up in Alaska that are number one. They always say there's a 100% injury rate.
That's true.
I know you've done that. Would you agree that in your opinion, is that the most dangerous job, or is there something else that you think is even more likely to get someone hurt?
Well, the top three, you know, kind of rotate statistically year by year. But overall, if you look at crab fishing in the Bering Sea, you know, you can't beat it. When I flew up there the first time.
And by can't beat it means,
I mean,
you're going to get hurt.
It's the most dangerous thing in the world.
Yeah, the actuarial charts that I saw called for 100% injury rate, a 9% catastrophic injury rate. You know, thumb pulled out, ribs crushed, you know. And this is the chilling one. The mortality rate was 1 a week.
Oh, my God.
1 a week.
Now, I closed the book. I'm on a Pen Air flight from Anchorage to Dutch Harbor reading about this. And I'm like, this is just nonsense. There's no way. I was there for 6 weeks. Everybody I knew got hurt. 1 in 10 got seriously hurt. And I went to 6 funerals. It wasn't an actuarial
chart. Wow.
It was a prophecy. So, for real, the stakes are as high as the stakes get. And those guys are the real deal.
And they know that going in, but they make so much money in such a short period of time, assuming it's a decent fishing season, that it's worth the risk to them.
I think, you know, I mean, I certainly think that's a part of it. But look, you're talking about generations of fishermen up there. This is what they do. And look, they're good seasons and bad seasons. They're big paydays and they're busts. But mainly they're farmers. They just happen to do their work on a boat. And they love it.
They love it.
They love it.
Yeah.
How? It's, you know, miserable. It's cold. It's miserable.
The really funny thing about dirty jobs, and the fact that I've been able to work on catch over the years as well, is that, you know, crab fishermen will pull me aside and say, hey, man, I saw that thing when you were in the mine. I don't know how the hell you did that. Miners will pull me in the side and say, I saw you on that bridge with those bridge painters. How in the hell do they do that? The bridge painter will say, man, I saw you in the sewer with it. How do they do that? These, you know, it really just depends, you know, what your poison is.
Yeah.
And crab fishermen, look, they don't think anything of it. 40-foot seas, 80-knot winds, whatever. Just pull the pot up. Shut up and fish. That's what they'll sell.
I'd like to nominate Mike Rowe as the new most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
Seriously. Come on.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Yeah. Dirty Jobs, tonight at 9 on the Discovery Channel. You are always invited on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's always great to have you as a guest, Mike. Thanks so much for stopping by.
I'll see you tomorrow, then.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I just wanted to follow Mike Rowe out. Wherever he was going, I wanted to go along.
How come?
Because he's just the coolest guy on the planet.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
Smart, funny, talented.
Yeah.
Great guy, good at what he does, great storyteller. I just wanted to start following him.
Yeah.
Much like Peter must have just started following Jesus around in Jerusalem, you know? You're not really sure why you're drawn to him. You think, this is important. This guy knows something I need just to sit at his feet and learn.
But then you get to the next job, and then you go, I'm out.
Well, he still gets to do the job I can watch.
All right.
Even better. I get to watch full. This is Bad Poo. I can see that in person.
Yeah.
I love him just as. I love him just as much. He's a great guy, but I'm worried, you know, because I used to, you know, adore Billy Mays, and then he, you know, died of all the drugs, and then I adored Vince the ShamWow guy, and then he beat up the hooker. I mean, I'm just worried about too much hero worship at this point, because I'll just get my heart broken again if I let myself go down that path.
But he's not a charlatan. He's not a flim-flam man like those guys. He's a hard-working guy.
There could be deep secrets in that closet.
100 points for flim-flam guy.
Flim-flam man. Charlatan, you know what that means. Con artist.
A flim-flam man.
Come on, Kevin.
Never heard of
all
that.
All the kids
That's
are using
awesome.
It. In 1800s.
Right.
All right, here's some showbiz news for you. Secret inside info from the set of Gossip Girl.
Ooh.
Confirms that in the November 9th upcoming episode, they're going to feature 3 major characters in a menage a trois.
Okay.
All right, now.
Oh, I hope it's Chase Crawford and Ed Westwick. 2 of those 3. Yeah, they haven't announced who is going to be in bed together, but they said the 3 characters will be in bed at the same time, all having sex together.
Airtight!
Wow, is Can't be airtight with three people.
Yeah, true.
You don't know, man.
I do know. Trust me. I know better than you. You need four people.
You don't know what other items they might have at their disposal.
Doesn't count. So that's for you Gossip Girl fans. I said, Dave, who do you think it's going to be? He's like, one of them's Dave Sanchez.
Oh.
I said, I don't think so. I don't think so, Dave Sanchez.
What's wrong with him?
But that Blake Lively, she just gets hotter, hotter every day.
She does. She does. That's true.
She's blossoming before our eyes.
At the Emmys, she was diabolical.
It's a vagina.
More than that. Vince Vaughn is someone I like enormously.
Me too.
And he has not apparently buckled to the call of technology. That much we know for sure. He did an interview this week. Of course, he's got a couples retreat coming up. And he was talking about the fact that he has no cell phone, refuses to give into the BlackBerry revolution, he said, until he absolutely has to, and has just started using a little thing we call email. Just finally getting around to conquering that. Wow. He is off the grid, practically.
What happened?
I don't know how he can do that and be in the industry in that Hollywood, he's in, as big a star as he is, without having someone have contact with him at any time.
I mean, without having a cell phone, his agent would have to call him at home and leave a message on his machine, right?
Imagine how crazy that must make him.
Yeah.
That agent must be losing their mind. And though Vince is one of those guys we've never had a problem with when we talked to him on the show.
No,
he's always called in perfectly on time. He's always, so I guess he manages it.
Sure.
But I almost envy his lack of tether to the electronic world, because it can be a bit of a bitch sometimes.
Yeah.
And people can get a hold of you anytime, anywhere. Except for Kevin. Kevin never answers his email on his cell phone.
Nope, he sure doesn't.
My cell phone. Kevin's a lot like Vince Vaughn, actually. I can never get a hold of him.
I lost my cell phone about 2 weeks ago, and I still haven't replaced it. I kind of like not being reachable.
Yeah. Like you were when you had it.
When I didn't answer it.
Kevin has never answered a phone once.
We're in New York. I'm going to go watch the football game tonight. You know, big game. It was the kickoff for the NFL season. Oh, I want to go. I was like, all right, Kevin, I'll give you a call when I'm heading out. I'll go over to the ESPN zone at Times Square. Ring, ring, ring. Oh, this is Kevin's cell phone. Yeah, I'm not available.
Well, that's why Kevin's even more amazing than Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn doesn't have anything technological. Kevin has every piece of device ever. I mean,
just
he
doesn't use it.
He's so technologically advanced and still doesn't answer his phone.
You bore me. All of you bore me.
But there's a lot of business that gets conducted via email on this show, and I almost wonder why we go to the effort of writing Kevin's name in the subject, in the two line, because it's just going into a black hole.
That's not true. I got a response from Kevin from an email that was sent out 2 days ago. I got it this morning. So.
Oh, did you? Okay.
He's not on time, but he's catching up.
I'm catching up. I'm a little behind at times.
He asked me to go see the football game with me. That's the point I was making. I went to call him in his room. No answer. Not available.
I was busy.
Yeah. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores today. Here's some highlights if you want to pick them up. Bones Season 4 is available today if you want to check it out. It's a good show over there on Fox, although they've shut down production because of the swine flu.
Wow.
That's kind of rough.
Doesn't seem good.
It's still a Beatles world. We just live in it with the, you know, all the new Beatles stuff everybody's talking about, still with the rock band and the new CDs. Hard Day's Night, their first movie, is available on Blu-ray today if you want to check that out.
Best rock and roll movie ever made.
It's pretty strong. The Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders Power Squad Bod Hard Body Boot Camp is available today.
That is not an official title.
On DVD, if you'd like to pick that up. I don't know what it is, but I think I want to watch it.
Sounds good, but
it sure does. Nip Tuck, Seasons 1 through 5 is available in a box set today. And Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is being re-released for those of you who haven't seen that classic Disney film. Disney only puts them out every once in a while.
That's true.
It's in limited release, so you can check that out. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Ricky Hatton, one of my favorite boxers. He's 31 years old today. Jeremy Sisto from Law & Order turns 35. He was on 6 Feet Under, too. Maybe played the crazy brother.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Rachel Griffith's crazy brother. He was awesome in that. He's 35. Yoan Griffith is 36 years old today. Amy Jo Johnson from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Felicity is 39. Matthew Sweet, singer and songwriter, is 45. And actress Elizabeth Shue, who I believe was nominated for an Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas. I don't think she won,
though. I think you're right.
Though.
I think
she was nominated. 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That looks like Kevin Pollak joining us in the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kevin.
Please be seated. Thank you so much.
How are you, my friend?
I am kicking life square in the nuts. Can I say that?
Yes.
Sure. All right.
Now, Kevin Pollak used to be a big movie star, and then apparently turned his back on Hollywood or something, and he went off the grid, and he's living in a tunnel. I don't know where you've been. Uh-huh. I only see you on the internet now, and apparently on stage. Apparently you are still out there doing the hilarious stand-up comedy, but you don't seem to. We don't see you acting as much as we once did.
All right, so I have three films coming out between now and February. What is your point?
Wow, okay.
Actually, the next one is a buddy cop comedy. Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan have teamed up for a film called, not making this up, A Couple of Dicks.
We had Kevin Smith in. He was telling us
all
about it.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Great.
Yes,
all right, so I'm in that, and then there's a Paramount release called Middlemen that I did with Luke Wilson and Giovanni Ribisi, a very cool film. And Gabriel Mock is pretty.
See, this is what happens with Hollywood, though, is we think you're not doing anything when you're actually off working. It's just it hadn't come out yet. So that's what's happened.
That's exactly right. I have been busy. And then there's this other film called Columbus Circle that I wrote with the director, which is kind of cool. But this chat show, yeah, on the online thing has kind of taken over my life.
Bean won't stop talking about it. I know that.
It's annoying.
Well, I don't like you because of his level of love for you.
Yeah. You have no choice.
I liked you before. I don't have any choice now because...
You got to go the other way.
Correct.
Yeah.
He's driving me to hatred.
Here's all it is, is that I'm so excited that we are alive today with the technology that is available to us. I love what... I know it's turned the industry upside down. I know that Hollywood is nothing like it was 10 years ago. And part of it is because of the beauty of the internet and things like Ustream that you use on your show, is that anybody can be a broadcaster. And I think that's great. I mean, that really is the definition of giving the power to the people, is now you can put a chat show on in your house if you want, Kevin, and have more people watch it than a show that's on at 8 o'clock at night on a network if it gets big. You know what I mean? I think that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty wide open there. I started doing this thing 26 years ago, half a year already. But some great stuff, like 2 hours with Seth MacFarlane, because there's no time restraints and there's no censors or anything, I'm getting these people to break down pretty fast, and it's fantastic.
Here's the problem, though, with Bean. The problem is that you're talented, and you can do this. Ooh. Bean sees this as his future. Like, he's going to be able to just do an online thing.
Sure.
But what he doesn't understand is nobody would watch that, because he has bad taste.
Well...
He's going to open up the newspaper and start reading.
No, this isn't about me. This doesn't have anything to do with me. No. I just think it's great. Look, there's no way that Kevin Pollak is going to get a talk show that's on the air on television for 2 hours to talk to his friends. That's what's great about a show like this, is everything's not edited down to 22 minutes. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, it's true. After doing the show about 4 weeks, I was approached by a producer who said, I have a deal at Showtime. I'd love you to bring the show over there. And I said, really, am I going to get... I get 2.5 hours with Kevin Smith, by the way, when I had him on. So, yeah, and it's just not going to happen. So, you know, what's the point? And also, while I'm online, I can actually say there's no one else doing what I'm doing. The moment I go to broadcast television, I get to not only stop saying that, but then I instantly get compared to all the greats who've been doing it much, much longer.
Yeah.
And you have a million people who now have a say on how the show should go.
Yeah, I involve the people. They write the theme song. They take live questions and all that stuff. And, yeah, they've shaped a lot of the show.
Speaking of the theme song, I have to play this for you. And you have to tell me if this is actually your theme song for your internet talk show, because I'm not sure I've heard a worse song. Okay? All right? Here it is.
He's all of the rainbows, but not
theme song?
He's private, he's an alcoholic.
You didn't get that in there? That's actually the outro music.
Outro?
At the end of the show.
You use this?
Written, by the way, by Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears. Hello! Yeah. I have my viewers, it's a contest to write the opening theme song.
Okay.
And then Kurt Smith showed up for the interview bringing his own song where he was making fun of me for being an alcoholic.
He's hosting this train wreck.
Now, that do you use that as the out for every show now?
Hosting the train wreck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin,
the idea is that I want people to stop watching instantly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to
watch
you, now.
Don't watch the next jerk. That's the way I can assure them.
You sure let them know the show's over, don't you?
Yeah.
Here's the question I'm sure you get asked a lot is
right.
that you have you're lucky enough that you have two successful careers going on. You can act in a Kevin Smith movie and you can also sell out a comedy room. So how do you have time to do this also, and why do you want to do it? Why did you want to be an internet talk show host?
I don't know. I have a friend. His name is Jason Calcanis. He's one of these internet mogul jerks. And I went to his visit him at his work. He's got the Mahalo.com thing. And he had this little studio set up in the back. And he's giving me a tour of the place. And he shows me this little studio where he says, yeah, we do a best of YouTube thing back here. It's just something for the employees to have some fun with. And this, before I knew it, this was coming out of my face. I said, you know, I did all the talk shows, Carson, a couple dozen Conans and Lettermans and Lenos, blah, blah, blah. But Charlie Rose was the only one that did not have a pre-interview. It was an actual conversation. He came from a background of journalism. I don't have that, but I would like to get people in here because I think people are fascinated in the journey for how did you get from there to here. So give me this room. Give me a couple of hours. Let's see who I can bring in here. And, you know, it's the John Hamm, the Dana Carvey, Matthew Perry, you know, Jason Lee, all kinds of Nia Vardalos, people from various walks. And also, I don't know, you guys are car guys, right? Elon Musk, you know, the Tesla Motors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Had him on for a little over an hour. 2 weeks later, he was on Letterman for 6 minutes. So I got to talk to him for a really long time. And anyways, it's that thing.
I will tell you, I mean, I understand why you're interested because people are fascinating. Like when I watched the Jason Lee interview, I mean,
right.
I have never seen him in any format in all the interviews that I've seen him do over the years talk so extensively about his skateboarding early years.
Exactly.
And show the video and talk about how he did it and you know, and what it has turned into and how much he still loves it. I mean, it was fascinating for me to see that side of him that you're not going to get if he's just on promoting My Name is Earl.
Yeah, it was weird because other than Tony Hawk, he was kind of one of the superstars at that time.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, maybe I got him at the right time also that he had actually proved himself as an actor, came off 4 years of My Name is Earl, and he was finally ready to talk about it again. But he brought a best friend of his of 15 years, and afterwards the guy pulled me aside and said, he just spoke for an hour, and he said about seven things I've never heard him talk about, and I've known best friends for 15 years. So that, you know, I'm done. I'm pretty, are you kidding me?
Interesting. This
is, yeah.
At the end of that,
right.
Did you play this?
We have to take a break. We're going to switch gears and talk comedy when we return and tell you how you can see Kevin Pollak and friends on stage tonight, if you can believe it. More with Kevin Pollak right after this on The Kevin Devine Show. Tuesday on The Kevin Devine Show, Ralph's got the showbiz beat minutes away. We have a few moments left with our friend Kevin Pollak. He is actually, if I understand this correctly, Kevin, your gig tonight at the Largo in Los Angeles.
Yes.
It is the first advertised stand-up gig you've done in town in more than 10 years.
Yeah, first promoted the gig. You know, I've done some drop-in shows recently at UCB Theater, which I love. And the closest I've come maybe is to Irvine. But I've never done anything in town for easily over 10 years.
Now, it says special guests Sean William Scott and Matthew Perry.
Does it? Well, that's insane.
Well, how would those two guys work into?
Well, I'm gonna host a new game show sensation called Oprah, Miley, or Demi.
Oprah,
and,
Miley.
What happens is they're all on the Twitter,
uh-huh.
And I will Matthew will be our celebrity surprise contestant. No longer to all of your listeners.
Oh,
who may,
I'm sorry. Was that
who may come to the show? No, no, no. Please.
Okay,
are you kidding? I'm trying to sell tickets.
Okay,
please.
Right.
You should accidentally mention his name.
Okay. I hear Angelina's going to be there. As a matter of fact, so why not buy tickets?
Angelina, yes, but not Brad. So those of you looking for that fun, please stay away. So Matthew will play against a lucky contestant from the audience, Oprah, Miley, or Demi. And basically, I will read a tweet, and then they have to buzz in by saying their name if they want to try to guess which one of those three
that's a great idea.
Actually wrote the tweet.
We have been
it's
obsessed
not as obvious
with
as you would think.
Celebrity tweets, by the way, because there are so many. I mean, there's so many that are so funny, like Diddy and Larry King, and some of them are just hilarious. You couldn't write funnier stuff than what they're doing.
Yeah, well, what
seriously?
The thing is that you've got an opportunity for narcissists to accidentally show their true colors, and there's nothing better than that, unless they were liquored up. Also,
now your tweets, because I do follow you, Kevin. You are basically in the camp of functional tweeting. It's basically where you are and what you're doing, and note your fans, that sort of thing.
Every now and then, I'll I'll throw out a gem like for iPhone users. Very great news. I've created a new app. Very excited about this that allows you to make a phone call. So that,
wow.
That will be fun. So, yeah, I do offer those gems up here and there. But, yeah, so this thing at Largo tonight is I'm looking for this nice little theater, you know, like 250, 270 seats, and it's a real intimate situation. But there'll be music, and if I mentioned the Has-Been album that Shatner did with Ben Folds. I'm going to reenact one of their songs, Common People, with a live band. I'll be doing the Shatner thing. So there'll be fun and games other than me just doing stand-up and impressions. By the way, so, you know, some of these impressions, I end up working with these people in movies.
Sure.
Right? So that's a little scary.
Sure.
First couple of days on the set, am I going to get my ass kicked? It's always a concern. For example, I started recently doing on stage Jason Statham.
Right? Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Action,
we love him.
The action guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So now I'm afraid I'm going to get that phone call. Do you know who I am? Do you? Why don't I tell you? I'm the one who's going to rip you into little pieces. You know what I mean? Then I'm going to swallow those pieces one at a time.
He does seem like he would eat you whole and not worry about it.
Right?
He's a little crazy.
He's intense, yeah.
He's a little nutty.
Yeah. Then I'm going to crap out those pieces. Then I'll make you eat that crap before you die. That's who I am. Yeah, so that'll be on stage as well.
So it's more than just a guy with a microphone telling jokes. In other words, it's a multimedia experience that has music and games and audience participation, and it sounds like a big night.
Is what I'm saying. I wish there was a phone number we could give them. They could buy tickets.
Well, it's funny you should ask, Mr. Pollock, because how about 311-855-0311. Hang on. Let me try it again.
All right, try it again. I'm sorry.
Largo at the Coronet, LA tonight at 9 for Kevin Pollock and Friends. It's 310-855-0350. Everybody got that now?
I had that coming. You're not wrong.
It sounds like a great night, and it's Kevin Pollock Chat Show for people who want to catch the internet show, and you do it live at 5 o'clock West Coast time Sunday afternoons, right?
Yeah, they can go to iTunes for the free podcast or the website itself to watch it live and ask live questions. Just go to KevinPollockChatShow.com.
And then do you archive them?
I do archive them. They're all there at the website as well as on the iTunes. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Good times. Kevin, we haven't seen you in a while, man, but we really appreciate you coming in. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure.
30 seconds to Mars.
Yeah!
Come on. Brought it as lighter. It's gonna set off the fire alarms.
Whatever.
We world premiered that earlier this morning called Kings and Queens. It's from a new CD that is coming out on December 8th. And don't forget, all week long between 5 and 6, your chance when you hear a block of Kings of Leon, Color 20 is going to go to Mexico to see that band from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:41.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if you love that Kings of Leon, excuse me, if you love that 30 Seconds to Mars song that we just played, which we world premiered earlier this morning, go to the website later on and check out the interview, because we had the guys in here when we world premiered that this morning, and it was very cool to have them back and have some new 30 Seconds to Mars music. All right, almost out of here, but we got time for one more showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Nicole Richie got rear-ended.
That I'm talking about.
Yeah, a couple guys rear-ended her.
Yeah!
Oh, that's
tight.
Yeah.
Airtight.
Yeah. DVDA, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah!
Shut up, Mike. I'm sorry. Upon further reading the story, it was a car accident.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
oh.
She was rear-ended by a couple paparazzi who were following too closely.
My crotch?
Nope.
Really, really loves it.
Yeah. Turns out one of the dudes was arrested and booked for being unlicensed because officers, in their words, could not verify his identification.
Hmm.
Turns out Eduardo the paparazzo is an undocumented worker.
Is that right?
Yes.
Sounds like a new character on a TV show, doesn't it?
Eduardo is currently cooling his heels in jail.
Guys, I don't know anything about anything, but how is Nicole Richie's picture worth anything these days? Like, she doesn't really do anything interesting anymore. She's, you know,
because
just a stay-at-home mom.
She just had a baby, and she lost all her baby weight because she just eats hard-boiled egg whites and protein and vegetables.
Okay, so how many pictures of that do you need?
I don't understand the interest.
They got that yesterday.
As many as you can get, because then they can run a special in Us Weekly that says stars how they lose their baby weight, and then issues will fly off the shelves
somehow inexplicably.
Yes.
Okay.
So you don't know, man.
I don't know.
Don't know. Hugh Grant's still a big movie star. Can't remember the last film he made, but he's still a movie star. He talks about
the fact that he hates celebrities who bitch about being rich and famous. He says it's the greatest thing in the world, and you can ask for stuff and people give it to you. For example, he says he's deeply spoiled and doesn't apologize for some of his more outrageous demands. He says he refuses to do a publicity photo shoot for his films without champagne. That's one of the deals. It has to have a bottle of champagne on ice. For him to show up and shoot some photos of your goofy little movie, you have to give him champagne.
Good for him.
Good
I like
for
that.
Him. That's what I say.
I like that.
I think the last thing I saw him in was Mickey Blue Eyes, maybe, and he was really funny in it.
Also, when he's on a movie set, he requires that the duvet cover for the bed in his trailer be washed at least 7 times with eco-friendly laundry soap. Apparently he doesn't know where that bed has been or who's been on that bed cover, and he wants to make sure that it's nice and clean.
Okay.
Before he shoots the movie. It's reasonable, I think.
Sure.
Especially, you know, you don't know who was using that trailer before you.
That's true.
It's Jeremy Piven. You're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Just want to make sure they watch that at least 7 times.
You got to wash the Piven out?
That's right. You don't know what's been going on in there.
It's gross.
It is gross. Lindsay Lohan. She's a hot mess.
She is a hot mess.
Apparently, she had a fashion show last week to show off her new designs, because she has been signed on as an artistic advisor for the Ungaro line of fashion. Women's Wear Daily called her fashion designs an embarrassment. And apparently several audience members were, according to one reporter from the New York Times, aghast with her horrid style. Not going well for Lindsay.
It could be going better, is what you're saying.
Next stop, according to the London Sun tabloid, is that she's entertaining the idea of doing the UK's Big Brother house next season.
Yes.
Lindsay in the Big Brother house. It would be in the UK, though. She wouldn't do it here in the States.
Right. Is that on the BBC, think, though? Can we
yeah,
watch
it's
it
on BBC.
Yeah.
I don't know if we watch it here or not, but it is on the BBC. I just
don't
think
you guys...
I always think of the TV show Extras. Remember Ricky Gervais, who was on HBO,
sure.
where he ends up his career after being sort of a successful sitcom actor.
Right.
He ends up on the Big Brother house, and they're all sort of pitiful, used to be celebrities who were vying for attention. It's kind of
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
That was one of the weirdest season finales ever, wasn't it?
He cried.
Yeah. I just think that at this point, Dr. Drew needs to be given conservatorship of Lindsay. He will make her right.
Couldn't do any worse.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And Liam Neeson's a busy boy. He, of course, is currently filming A-Team.
Yeah!
The major motion picture version of the TV classic, The A-Team. He plays Hannibal Smith, the head of the A-Team, in the upcoming remake. But he just landed another gig as well. He'll be spending a couple days at least shooting a role in a new film called The Next 3 Days. Sounds like an interesting premise. This is a film about a woman who's imprisoned for a murder she didn't commit, and her college professor husband decides to break her out of prison. Russell Crowe is the husband, and Elizabeth Banks is his wife.
Oh, wow.
If Elizabeth Banks was in prison, I'd break her out.
Yes, I'd break her out.
I'd break her in, too.
And I would give her such solitary confinement.
I don't even know what that means. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ricky Hatton. One of my favorite boxers. British boxing star Ricky Hatton, 31 years old today. Jeremy Sisto from Law & Order and 6 Feet Under. Jesus. He's 35 years old today. Yoan Griffith from Fantastic Four and Horatio Hornblower is 36 years old today. Amy Jo Johnson, she was on Felicity, and she was a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger.
How about that?
How about that?
Like the pink one.
I think she was the Pink Ranger. She is 39 years old today. Matthew Sweet turns 45. And actress Elizabeth Shue celebrates her 46th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. Comedian Lewis Black will be on the program.
Can't believe I'm doing radio. We used to be on television.
We have G4's Olivia Munn coming in the studio.
Boner.
Really? We didn't understand what that all meant. Thanks for clarifying it. Highlights of My Monkey Baby, the documentary.
Wait, you have a monkey baby? And you're going to bring highlights about her?
It's a documentary called My Monkey Baby.
I thought maybe at home you had a new edition.
And from the UFC, Dana White.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, how did I meant to ask all morning long, how did Matthew Sweet make the cut for celebrity birthdays today?
That's a great question.
You know what? Dave just gives me a list, and I just read them.
Well, don't.
I don't really even edit anymore. I just
pay attention to who they are, why.
I trust him.
Don't do that.
And if he puts it on there, I figure good enough for me.
Don't go with
okay.
that.
Good enough for the
all
king,
right.
good enough for me.
A lot of great new music on K-Rock these days. That is not an example of it. But how about the new one from Phoenix called 1901, the new one from Pearl Jam called The Fixer, the new one from The Bravery called Slow Poison. All of that part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock with Kat Corbett coming up next right after this.